This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas WrightLaw.com.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, it is a crazy week weather-wise in the Southeast Mid-Atlantic portion of the country, with Hurricane Florence just hammering the Carolina coasts. A very stressful time, and I'm sure that many of our alphas and lieutenants that are in the Carolina area are up to their ass in alligators, as the great Manuel Quesada would like to say, a figure of speech. I can certainly relate, having had to evacuate last year from the cigar city of Tampa up to Charleston, South Carolina for Hurricane Irma. And to those of you that are going through the battering, and hopefully now the worst is over, it is not a pleasant time. It is a stressful time. And we wish all of our alphas and lieutenants, all of our listeners in the Carolinas and the Southeast, well, not fun at all. Long-ash greetings and salutations. A long-ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Your commanding five-star global general and Alpha male in chief from Command Center Alpha here in the Cigar City of Tampa. I tell you, I remember 1 year ago, almost to the week, having to grab a go bag and grab my German Shepherd and evacuate to the Charleston, South Carolina area. And I can tell you that the folks that were at the hotel I stayed at and everybody I came across were extremely accommodative. They couldn't have been friendlier, could not have been nicer. And as we look at the video and the pictures coming out of the Carolinas, it is just the amount of water just staggering. And people are saying, well, it's not that it went from a Category 4 down to a 3 to a 1 when it hit. Not that bad. Trust me. It's not just the wind. It is the water. It is the tidal surge. You've got the high tides that are going in. You've got all this water being pushed in. And for those people, I saw yesterday, I'm watching on the various news networks, people in New Bern, North Carolina, and some people in Wilmington, North Carolina, who despite repeatedly being told thousands of times, this is going to be a major storm. There is going to be flooding. It's not just the wind. You must evacuate. Get out. We cannot rescue you during the hurricane. We're not going to send out first responders when there's howling winds, rain, lightning, flooding. It is not going to happen. Shelters were open. The roads, the Contraflow was opened up in the Carolinas. You were told from the president on down, between tweets from the president, between FEMA, between the governors, between mayors saying, get out, evacuate. And then I watch on the cable news these idiots saying, well, you know, we think we're going to stick around. I've ridden through these hurricanes before. Big deal. Well, it is a big deal, especially when you've got a slow-moving system moving at 5 miles an hour that is just pummeling the region with water. I mean, we're talking up to, 20, 30 inches of water. And not only that, but you're talking about massive amounts of storm surge coming in from the ocean, filling up all these various rivers. It is a disaster area. And yet, these dumbasses refuse to listen to common sense. They refuse to listen to the authorities saying, get out. This is not, we're not kidding around. I don't know how many times governors have to tell people. But you know, as I've realized, there's a certain contingency of humans, not just Americans, people in the world. I don't know what the percentage is. They're just plain stupid. They're dumb. Now, for those of us that are incredibly smart, all of us alphas, it works to our advantage because when we're negotiating with them in business or we're dealing with them in certain situations, it works to our advantage. Stupidity pays, especially if you're bright and smart and have common sense. But there is a certain contingency of people that no matter what you say, no matter what evidence you present, they are still stupid. They are dumbasses. Remember that FedEx commercial a number of years ago when the guy's where the guy's doing an interview with a guy and it's Mr. Dumass. And instead of calling him Mr. Dumas, he keeps calling him now, Mr. Dumass, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to work hard for you, Mr. Dumass, and Mr. Dumass, this and that. And at the end, the guy goes, it's Dumas, not Dumass. Well, needless to say, the guy didn't get the job. And that's the example that I'm making. People refuse to listen to common sense, no matter what you show them, no matter what you tell them. And so as I'm watching the cable news networks and the Weather Channel yesterday, all these people stuck in attics, and the first responders are saying, well, we're not coming out. We got the calls, but we're not coming out until it's safe for our first responders. And these people think they ought to be rescued immediately. Note to dumbasses, not the Dumases, the dumbasses that refuse to listen to emergency personnel, to governors, to the president, to FEMA, to people that have been through this hundreds of times before. When you are told to evacuate and get your stupid asses out from coastal areas or along rivers, do it. Do not wait. We learned that lesson in Hurricane Andrew and Hurricane Katrina. Yet, oh no, I'm going to ride it out. Ah, it's no big deal. It's a little bit of water, and now all of a sudden they're calling to get rescued. It is just it fails to astonish me how stupid people can be. Now, of course, all of us alphas that are intelligent, that use our brains, that are well read, that are up on current events, we don't screw around. We look and say, hey, we're not going to be stupid. We're not going to be obstinate. Common sense dictates to us that when you have 20 to 40 inches of rain, number one, you're going to get flooding. But then you have a hurricane with winds and tidal surge. On top of that, get the F out. GTFO, get the frick out. End of discussion. All right. I didn't want to start on that, but it just got me going, and that's how it goes. Burt Reynolds, the great Burton Reynolds. Actually, Burt Reynolds, I want to get his full name. Burton Milo Reynolds, Jr., born February 11, 1936, Lansing, Michigan, but grew up in the Florida area, in Florida, down in Palm Beach County. His father, an Army veteran, was the police chief for Riviera Beach, Florida, in Palm Beach County. He was, I believe, a teammate and also a roommate of Lee Corso of ESPN, who we have on the show on a regular basis. Burt Reynolds died just a week or so ago, just over a week. I couldn't get to it last week. But what a, for those of us that are alphas, when you're growing up and you are in your teens, 18, 20, and you see Burt Reynolds, and you see him with Lonnie Anderson, and you see him having a good time driving that Trans Am, you want to be Burt Reynolds. You want to be like him. He always looked like he had fun. I enjoyed his movies. Now, were they many of them Academy Award winners? Not really. But nonetheless, the guy was a huge box office star, charismatic star, and total alpha all the way. Some of the films that he was involved with, certainly one that comes to mind, which really was a noted theatrical work, Deliverance. You got a nice mouth. If you have not seen Deliverance, you got to watch it. It really was one of the great movies. It's about four guys from Atlanta. They go on this like survivalist canoe trip, and they end up meeting some backwoods hillbillies. And there's a scene that's a little disturbing that guys basically are squealing for good reason. But Deliverance, great movie. He was in The Longest Yard, the Smokey and the Bandit franchise. 82, passed away. And I'll tell you, some of the movies that I thought were his best works, one of them he played Jack Horner, a movie director in Boogie Nights that came out in 1997. I remember going to see it. I wanted to go see it. And a number of people didn't want to go see it. I mean, a number of the members of the harem at the time, I said, come on, we'll go see Boogie Nights. I don't want to see this thing. I figured, fine, I went by myself. It was a phenomenal movie. And Burt Reynolds, interesting, he played great on it. He said, I thought that was one of my best theatrical works, but I didn't care for the movie only because he said he cared for the movie, but he didn't like the experience of the movie because he didn't care for the director at the time, who was Jack Horner. Paul Thomas Anderson. He played the director, Jack Horner, but a phenomenal movie. He was the number one box office attraction for a five-year stretch starting in the 1970s. Here are some of his other movies. Starting Over, 1979 with Jill Clayburgh, Candace Bergen. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, 1982 with Dolly Parton. That was a good movie. Best Friends, 1982 with Goldie Hawn, shot in my hometown of Buffalo. The Man Who Loved Women, 1983, Julie Andrews. And he was kind of a tough guy. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He was a tough guy. He basically kind of could be obstinate on some of the sets, and he was offered numerous parts that he didn't take. He was offered to be the star of Star Wars, Han Solo in Star Wars, astronaut Garrett Breedlove in Terms of Endearment, cop John McClane in Die Hard, passed on those. He also passed on the part to play R.P. McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and the part of playing the part that was made very famous by Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. So he passed on a number of parts, and he said, I didn't open myself to new writers or risky parts, because I wasn't interested in challenging myself as an actor. I was interested in having a good time. He said, I missed a lot of opportunities to show I could play serious roles. By the time I finally woke up and tried to get it right, nobody would give me a chance. And many people will remember the famous Cosmopolitan centerfold in April 1972. He posed nude on a bearskin rug, and then he graced the cover 7 years later of Playboy, not Playgirl, Playboy. The Cosmo issued sold 1.5 million copies. He said it's been called one of the greatest publicity stunts of all time, but it was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. I'm convinced it cost Deliverance the recognition it deserved. Started as a running back in high school and played in college, running back in Florida State. Injured, I think, in his sophomore year, and then decided I'm going to go into acting, and sure enough, he did. Longest Yard, another great movie, semi-tough. And that Pontiac Trans Am, that sleek Trans Am that he rode in Smokey and the Bandit, after the movie opened, sales of Pontiac Trans Am soared. He also was a part owner of the Tampa Bay Bandits of the USFL, which was named after Smokey and the Bandit. And let's face it, the man was known. Also, B.L. Stryker, he won an Academy Award for Evening Shade on CBS. But let's face it, when you think about Burt Reynolds, you think about Lonnie Anderson. And there was a great story that was told to me by Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Florida State Seminoles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Seminoles! One of the great play-by-play men of all time. No question about it. And playing golf one time, a number of years ago, at a Florida Broadcasters Convention. And I don't know how the subject, you know, Burt was a very big Florida State alum, and really was very close to Bobby Bowden, very close to the program. And so he would appear at a lot of the booster dinners and just was out and about. And so he was at one dinner, And Gene Deckerhoff tells, and I can't remember if Gene tells me that he was the one that said this or somebody else on the dais said it. But he comes up and he says, Bert, I really feel sorry for you. And people are looking around thinking, what the hell? He goes, I feel sorry for you because you are married to Lonnie Anderson. Of course, everybody's like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Then the guy, he finishes, he says, because you got nothing else to fantasize about in life. And, of course, it drew a big chuckle and so on. And let's face it, Lonnie Anderson, even today in her 70s, looks fantastic. And back in the day when he married her right after the WKRP in Cincinnati when she played Jennifer Marlowe, the blonde, bodacious receptionist, come on, what alpha male at the time did not want to bang Lonnie Anderson? That was every adolescent and every teen and young adult heterosexual male's fantasy, to be with Lonnie Anderson. And even today, as I said, in her 70s, she looks marvelous. You look marvelous, darling. You really do. Very interesting. I was watching Netflix or Amazon Prime. I can't remember which one. Got to be about 6 weeks ago. And I'm flicking around, and I get this movie suggestion called The Last Movie Star, and it's with Burt Reynolds. And Burt did this last year. I think it was about 2017 that because it was released in March. I think the end of March it was released. It's about an aging actor, very big screen actor, gets lured into accepting an award at a rinky-dink film festival in Nashville. And it's basically there's some funny parts, but there's a lot of serious parts. And he kind of goes back to where he's from originally in Knoxville. Played on the Tennessee football team. A lot of similarities to Burt Reynolds' real life. And it was very interesting. And it was really an interesting... so I figured, let me watch this movie. I watched the preview. It looked interesting. I thought it was one of Burt Reynolds' best ever performances. And at the time, Burt did not look... He looked like he was in frail health. Failing health. Not failing health, but just frail. He looked a little frail. And you got to love Burt. Still had the toupee. Still wore the rug at the top, but he still looked good. It was a great movie. It was a serious movie. And to me, I kept thinking there are a lot of similarities. Football star goes back. He ends up going to Knoxville, and that's where his first wife, I think in the movie he was married like 3 or 4 times, but the first woman was the love of his life, and he wants to go back, and she happens to be she's suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia, and he finds her and takes her out to where he first proposed to her in Knoxville. And it's just a really interesting movie in how he develops a bond with a young girl who didn't even know who the hell the guy was, but back in the day he was huge. So the parallels between the Last Movie Star, the character that Burt Reynolds played in The Last Movie Star, and in his real life story, just on the same path. So my suggestion, if you have a chance, definitely watch The Last Movie Star. I can't remember. Do a search on Netflix. I think it was on Amazon Prime, but it is well worth it. The Last Movie Star, starring Burt Reynolds. And Lee Corso last week on ESPN College Football Game Day did a very nice tribute to Burt Reynolds. Let's face it, Burt Reynolds was an alpha male without a doubt. Great movies. And a lot of guys growing up wanted to be like Burt. He had the swab. He had the gunslinging type mentality, had the balls, and just had the attitude. Rest in peace, Burt Reynolds, at the age of 82.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Cigar, check. Steak, check. Adult libation, check. Hot stacked dame with nag feature disengaged, check. Proceed with Cigar Dave Pleasure Maneuvers.
And a membership to the Cigar Dave Officers Club should be checked. If it is not, that is an issue we must address. The August 2018 Officers Club selection of the Fonseca Classic should have been received by all members. They did go out late. Again, what has gone on in Nicaragua has had a ripple effect with cigars coming in from other countries because of the customs backups. Nicaragua is a hotbed. In fact, I just saw that Drew Estate canceled one of their big events down in Nicaragua. They're postponing it. They canceled it, going to reschedule for the fall of 2019 because of the civil unrest going on in Nicaragua. Hard to believe. Nicaragua was relatively stable until about 5-6 months ago, and certainly it has changed dramatically with the regime that is in power. But the Fonseca Classic, beautiful Dominican, creamy, mild to medium flavored cigars you should have received. For September, they will be the Officers Club selection coming from Rocky Patel. We have narrowed it down to two selections. I will make the announcement next week. We're just waiting to see which one's going to get out of the aging room first and out through customs and out from Nicaragua. So we've got it down to two of their new cigars. It's going to be one of them, that I can tell you. And we'll probably announce it on Twitter and Facebook and on our website later on this week. If you're not a member of the Officers Club, go to CigarDave.com right now. Click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. You will not go wrong.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched.
This is Carl Lindabat. Join us the week of 17 September for Kristen Schrader on Monday, Barry Tippin on Tuesday, the Sheriff on Wednesday, our DA on Thursday, and Mike DeQuisto on Friday. A whole week of politics, law and order, and rebuilding our city. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-780.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, the October Officers Club selection is going to come from A.J. Fernandez, one of the great manufacturers down in Nicaragua. So I wanted to pull out a few cigars and get my palate properly ready for the October Officers Club. And I'm not going to tell you what that selection is just yet, but I'm going to select, or I have selected, a cigar that when I was at the Cigar Retailers Convention, ran into Frank Santos of AJ Fernandez, and he said, "General, you got to try some of these Enclave Habanos. We've changed some things. Just take some of these and smoke them." So I took some Enclave Habanos as well as some of the Enclave Broadleaves. But the Habano just absolutely was spectacular. So I've selected the AJ Fernandez Enclave Habano for my Litation cigar today. It is a very unique blend. Uses a very rich Habano Rosado wrapper from Ecuador with a Cameroon binder. So right off the bat, you're going to get that Ecuador Rosado, that nice sun-grown taste, and that Cameroon with a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of spiciness. And then they use some A.J. Fernandez Piloto Cubano and Nicaraguan select fillers that really give the cigar a unique combination, a taste profile of some spice, some cedar, some cinnamon, some pepper. It's very, very unique. It is a great, just a nice cigar. Suggested retail in the $7 to $8.5, $9 category. You cannot go wrong. It's on the medium plus side. Medium plus, not quite super full, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it's definitely in the 7 to 8 category. So some very nice flavor. Some nice strengths made at Tabacalera Fernandez in Esteli, Nicaragua. And again, draped in this beautiful reddish-hued Rosado Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Absolutely fantastic. And I have selected the Churchill. 7 inches in length, 52 ring gauge. Nice, large-size cigar. And again, for this cigar, we're looking roughly about $8 suggested retail. You cannot go wrong.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Well, I got the self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, from the Cigar Dave R&D Research and Development Laboratories, the guys that wear the white coats with the pocket protectors and the pens in the pocket protectors, they have given me a new model. Well, it's the same model. It's the Mala. Make America Litate Again, the Mala, but they've added another flame to it. So now it's got 4 unique flames on here, and it's a little bit different variation. So we're calling this Mala V2.0, version 2.0. Take a listen to that. That's what I would use today to ignite this AJ Fernandez magnificent Enclave Habano.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. Not quite the perfect cut. Let me do that one more time. That now is the perfect cut. I just needed to get a tad more of the cap off. When you take the head of the cigar off, it should be taken off just above the shoulders where the cigar curves in. And I did it just a bit too high, but now I've got a perfect cut. And now I'm going to take my Cigar Dave R&D Laboratory Mala Make America Litate Again version 2.0 and gently toast the foot of this cigar, taking my time. No rush. And again, I'm not going to stick the flame right on the foot of the cigar. I am going to allow heat to cause combustion. And as I do that, let me remind you as we celebrate, continue to celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, celebrating bourbon and celebrating American whiskeys and American spirits. In the next hour, for the entire hour, we'll be joined by Dave Picarell, noted master distiller. He was the master distiller of Maker's Mark for 14 years. Who doesn't love the Maker's 46? Phenomenal, phenomenal bourbon. And for the last number of years, he has been a consultant as well as a master distiller to many craft distilling startups. And he has consulted Whistle Pig and St. Augustine Distillery, Garrison Brothers, working on a project for Metallica. Just some great, great craft distillers. And as I puff and rotate, we will... Wow, fantastic. We will have Dave on talking about his background and Makers, because let's face it, Makers, really the first super premium bourbon in the country. And then we'll talk about some of the unique craft distilled bourbons and whiskeys. It's also involved in a very unique project at the George Washington Mount Vernon Estate, where they have recreated the original distillery from 1798 and making George Washington rye whiskey the same recipes that were used in 1798, because George Washington took copious notes and they were able to find it, and they are using the same production method. So we'll talk to him about that. One final touch on my A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano. Let me take a few puffs. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great aroma. Wow. Great taste. A.J. Fernandez has been making cigars now, got to be about, I want to say, 15 years. Started making cigars for Rocky Patel. And now you look, General Cigar has cigars made by A.J. Fernandez. Altadas, everywhere you look, A.J. is around. Great factory. He's created great cigars, and now he's really got a push for some of his incredible, incredible brands, his own brands that he has made. And I can tell you that his booth at the Cigar Retailers Convention was absolutely packed. So we will be featuring an A.J. Fernandez cigar for the October Officers Club selection. We'll bring on Frank Santos, his marketing director, talk a little bit about some of their great blends and great cigars. Now, as I take a few puffs, I got to tell you something. I almost don't want to stop puffing because the flavor and the aroma of this A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano is just magnificent. But I need the proper accompaniment.
Scotch, so, bourbon, and beer.
Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Let's break out the bottle of 50 Stone Highland-style single malt whiskey from Maine Craft Distilling up in Portland, Maine. I had the opportunity to visit Portland, Maine Craft Distilling 2 years ago, and we did a great hour from there, and we talked to their founder and master distiller, and I've got to tell you, their lineup is fantastic. If you ever get to Portland, Maine, it is worth the drive. They moved in about, I want to say about 6-8 months ago into some newer facilities, bigger. They've outgrown it. And Sergeant Steve, I think we've got a picture of their big distilling distillation unit. I'm trying to remember what it was called. I think it was called Frankenstill is what they called it. Homemade.
Yes, I mean, we have it. Yes, I'll put that on Twitter.
Fantastic. It was really, they built it from scratch. They didn't buy it. They figured, hey, you know what? We're tight on funds. We're going to make our own. And I got to tell you, that Frankenstill makes phenomenal, phenomenal spirits. This 50 Stone whiskey is absolutely magnificent. It honors a nostalgic unit of measurement where 50 stones of barley makes one barrel of whiskey. So what they do at Maine Craft Distilling, they floor malt their Maine-grown barley, and they get the complexity and just the new flavor nuances, and they create a whiskey that is unique to Maine. In fact, everything they make at Maine Craft Distilling primarily sourced from Maine. Maine has barley. They don't have corn in Maine. So consequently, they make a Scotch-style whiskey. Now, it's a single malt American-made whiskey. It's not a bourbon because it's not at least 51% corn, and it's not aged in new oak barrels. But it is a whiskey. So it is a malted, just a single malt whiskey made from barley. And the aroma on this, it's got a very light amber gold color to it. Let me say cheers. Wow. This tastes... Now, it's a little young. They only age it, I want to say, about 18 months, maybe 2 years. So it's not overly aged. You definitely get the unique barley taste. But you get enough of the wood to say, this is not a bourbon-style whiskey. This is definitely more of a Highland-style, a Scotch-style whiskey. Take another taste. Got a little spice on the way down, a little sweetness. Definite wood notes to it. This is definitely not a strong whiskey, but it's definitely not as tame of a whiskey as an older age spirit. But very, very nice. And every bottle they make of 50-stone Highland-style whiskey at Bancroft Distillers goes right out the door. And by the way, got my allergies acting up here. I usually get them in Florida right around like October, November. This year they're early. And if I sound a little different, that's because got the allergies flaring up. I've been on the Sudafed, every 12 hours. They don't make the 24-hour Sudafed anymore. You can take one tablet a day, but I think they were worried that people were going to make all sorts of illicit drugs. Now when you go to buy Sudafed, you got to give them an ID. It's crazy. But I will tell you, this 50-stone whiskey, very soothing down the throat. Even though I don't have a sore throat or anything, I can just you can tell I sound a little bit nasally, but I feel fine, feel fantastic. Just a little of the allergies, but I'll tell you what, the allergies not impinging on my ability to get and detect great aromas from my A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano and my Main Craft Distilling 50-Stone Whiskey. All right, when we come back, I've got to get into talking about this Me Too, hashtag Me Too movement. Whatever, it is amazing in this country. We always go from one extreme to the other. And as I've stated, those men that were scumbags that pulled some shenanigans that were not appropriate, no question, they deserve to be dealt with appropriately. But now we're seeing everything falling into Me Too. If you look at a woman the wrong way, or if you send her a text message, a business text message that's harshly worded, all of a sudden, hashtag Me Too. It happened at CBS, 60 Minutes. I've got some other instances that I want to talk about. We're seeing it with Judge Brett Kavanaugh with the little DiFi, the Dianne Feinstein memo supposedly from high school. But this is getting out of control now. So when I come back, I'm going to address it. I'm going to give you my take on the hashtag MeToo movement that's gone hashtag out of control.
Get the latest cigars.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping car fire relief. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with Floaters, Lit, Candlebox, and headliners AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket. All, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to car fire relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for car fire relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Well, this cigar delivers a lot of spice, a lot of flavor, and in my opinion, it's the best cigar we make.
As usual, we can't agree. But guess what? There's a great cigar for everyone. I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigars are not a safe alternative to cigarettes.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. Sheep's carcass. The General viciously shreds the enemies of pleasure and licks his blood-soaked chops with the taste of victory.
Great music to relax me as I take some fabulous puffs on my A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano, and I'll take a sip of my Main Craft Distilling 50 Stone Highland Style Whiskey. And I need to be relaxed for this segment because I know I'm going to get worked up. Hashtag worked up. In this country, we always go from one extreme to the other. We don't have any moderation. So, for example, in this Me Too movement, we've gone from people and men like Harvey Weinstein and now Les Moonves, who absolutely deserve to be called to task and put to shame for what they did. I mean, when I read Les Moonves dropped his pants and made a woman give him oral sex and harm women's careers, I'm sorry. That's the actions of a scumbag, period. That's not an alpha male. That's a scumbag. But what has happened now is that we've got all these other men that are getting caught up in the Me Too movement. If you say good morning to a woman now the wrong way, all of a sudden, you're going to get tweeted about saying, a man looked at me the wrong way. A man this morning to me said good morning when I've had a bad morning. Hashtag me too. We go from one extreme to the other. It's never enough just to say, look, there's a small percentage of men that are scumbags, that are total skeezballs. Their behavior is boorish. It is unacceptable. Harvey Weinstein, this week there was a tape coming out showing how the guy wants one of the actresses that comes to visit him or whatever. He tries to cop a hug. Like, how desperate. Look at the guy. All you have to do is look at these guys. They can't get women on their own. So they use their power to try to not seduce women, but to intimidate women. I'm sorry. Trying to intimidate a woman is not going to get her moist. That does not work. It will never work. And let's face it, look at Harvey Weinstein. Look at Michael Moore. These guys look like unmade beds. They look like they need a bath and a shave. Would anybody go near Harvey Weinstein if the guy wasn't the head of a big motion picture firm or a big entertainment executive? Hell no. And when you see guys like Charlie Rose that did this over and over, I'm sorry, like, here, sit on the couch. Or Matt Lauer that has a remote control door closer? Come on. Obscene and absurd. So these guys that get caught in that, they deserve it because they knew damn well their behavior not only was not unacceptable, it's impolite and it's boorish. But now what we're seeing is everybody getting caught into this. Let me give you a perfect example. Norm MacDonald, comedian. Said earlier this week, he was former Saturday Night Live cast member, told The Hollywood Reporter that, and I'm quoting here, he was happy the Me Too movement had slowed down a little bit. Now, I agree with him Because we had this rush where all of a sudden everybody is me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. And it's kind of slowed down. And all he said was, look, you know, I can interpret that as, hey, I'm glad to see that maybe all the people that were part of the Me Too, that were victims of Me Too, maybe they've all come out and maybe it's done. Glad it slowed down a little bit. He said, people used to receive a second chance, but now, and I quote, there is no forgiveness. And he's right. Now, it depends on the actions. Harvey Weinstein, I'm sorry. You physically try to assault a woman or rape a woman, I'm sorry. That doesn't deserve, you know, a second chance. You know what you're doing. But if it's an instance where, whatever, you say something, a politically insensitive, incorrect joke or a sexual innuendo joke, I'm sorry. That does not, in my estimation, merit someone getting fired and losing umpteen years of good service over something that may have been said innocuously. Or somebody sends, you know, a picture, I get all these pictures all the time from friends, and, you know, somebody's around, they go, let me see it. You show it to them, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody could say, hey, well, you know, it is kind of a little inappropriate. Okay, great. I get that. But the problem today is that we're going way the hell overboard. And here's a perfect example. Norm MacDonald gets castigated by members of the Hollywood community. And MacDonald mentioned that Louis C.K., who was accused of sexual assault, or sexual misconduct, and Barr, who was fired from her show in Maine, you know, he used them as examples, but he tweeted an apology and said, look, I don't defend their actions, but, you know, we've gone a little overboard. Well, guess what happened? The Tonight Show was going to have Norm MacDonald on to promote his new Netflix show, which actually debuted yesterday, called Norm MacDonald Has a Show. Isn't it Norm MacDonald Has a Farm, E-I-E-I-O? Norm MacDonald Has a Show, E-I-E-I-O. So he's going to go on the Tonight Show to promote his new show. What happened? The Tonight Show canceled his appearance after he got some criticism for his comments about the Me Too movement. Now, I'm sorry. For the Tonight Show to cancel an appearance because the man used his First Amendment right to give his opinion. Now, he didn't go and say, look, I think the Me Too movement is totally ridiculous. Men should be able to rape women. Men should be able, in positions of power, to berate women and abuse women. He never said that. He simply said, look, I'm glad the Me Too movement has finally calmed down. And people used to get second chances. And we saw Les Moonves for actions he did. And listen, by what I read, and again, the man is entitled to due process, but from what I read, from all these women coming out, he definitely used his power and was a total scumbag a la Harvey Weinstein. But it is even affected now 60 Minutes because we have seen the executive producer, Jeff Fager, longtime executive producer of 60 Minutes, was fired on Wednesday. Apparently, he sent a text message to CBS News correspondent Jerrica Duncan, who was investigating and covering the network's sexual harassment accusations against him. Apparently, some people said that he allowed wild things to go on at parties and so on and so forth. But she reached out last Sunday to Fager for his response to allegations in the New Yorker magazine that he had groped or touched CBS employees at company parties. Now, here's the thing. If you're at a company party and, you know, you go up and hug somebody, I'm sorry. We've gotten way sensitive when there's a difference between groping, grabbing a woman's boobs, and just hugging someone. Well, he basically said, look, if you repeat these false accusations without any of your own reporting to back them up, you'll be held responsible for harming me. Be careful. There are people who lost their jobs trying to harm me, and if you pass on these damaging claims without your own reporting to back them up, that will become a serious problem. Well, he was firm in his statement, and of course, she had to go crying and whining to CBS News president, who then terminated him. And then Jeff Glor, who is the anchorman with the least amount of gravitas in the history of network news, goes on and says, we're all behind you. What he did was unacceptable. Grow a set, Glor. Grow a set. Enough of this Me Too movement. We'll celebrate Bourbon Heritage Month next on the Cigar Dave Show.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. It has been a day of relentless rain in the Carolinas. Tropical Storm Florence just hovering over the region, barely moving and dumping a lot of water. And now at least 11 people have been confirmed killed. In Fayetteville, North Carolina, Mayor Mitch Colvin announcing new evacuations are in place near two swollen rivers.
Residents in flood-prone areas, especially near the Cape Fear River, should go to one of the county's seven shelters or residents of higher ground, family member, friends.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says it's going to be another dark night for many of his state's residents, so hunker down, stay off the streets, and stay safe.
More than 800,000 people throughout the state are currently without power, and utility crews are beginning to work now to restore electricity to people.
More than 2 feet of rain has fallen in some places, with forecasters saying there could be an additional 1.5 feet by the end of the weekend. Members of the National Transportation Safety Board are in Boston to investigate this week's series of gas explosions. NTSB spokesman Keith Holloway.
We want to look at Columbia Gas's pipeline integrity program. We want to know any testing that may have occurred on this pipeline, any failures that may have occurred, any inspections, any repairs that may have occurred.
Those explosions left dozens of homes in ruins, killed a teen driver in his car, and injured at least 25 others. The Wall Street Journal reporting that President Trump is going ahead with plans to announce new tariffs on about $200 billion of Chinese imports, and that tariff level will likely be set at about 10%. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo accusing his predecessor, John Kerry, of actively undermining U.S. policy on Iran by meeting several times recently with Iran's foreign minister on Thursday. President Trump called those meetings illegal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
September 17, 1787, the delegates of the Constitutional Convention signed that document, our great Constitution, in Philadelphia. Thus, each September, we celebrate Constitution Day. And though the framers never imagined a cell phone, they did ensure your right to free speech and self-determination, which is exactly what Patriot Mobile is all about. Patriot Mobile celebrates the Founding Fathers and your values, and it is the only cell phone carrier that supports conservative causes like the Susan B. Anthony Fund, the NRA, Heritage Foundation, while also providing you the same nationwide, reliable service with unlimited talk and tax for less money, no hidden fees. So in honor of that day in 1787, Patriot Mobile is offering all data plans for $17.87 for your first month of service. Plus, they'll send you a pocket constitution absolutely free. Make the switch today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Hugh or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Get unlimited talk, text, and data for your first month, $17.87 plus a free pocket constitution. Go to patriotmobile.com/Hugh or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Let's celebrate the Constitution Day and support our rights one call at a time.
The New York Times has corrected a story headline that suggested UN Ambassador Nikki Haley ordered the installation of costly curtains at the official New York residence of the U.S. ambassador.
The allegation was the banner headline in the paper of record after a White House official in the Obama administration, Brett Bruen, first posted to Twitter that the curtains cost over $50,000. But it turned out they were ordered in 2016 during the Obama administration when Samantha Power was ambassador. The Times added a correction and changed its headline. It said, quote, an earlier version of this article and headline created an unfair impression about who is responsible for the purchase in question. Keith Peters, Washington.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection offering condolences to family and friends of the victims of a Border Patrol agent suspected of killing several women. Juan David Ortiz arrested early Saturday, charged in the deaths of four women who are believed to have worked as prostitutes. This is Town Hall News. A California utility is vowing to replace 3,400 miles of overhead power lines with insulated wire to reduce the risk of them sparking when hit by tree limbs or other objects.
Southern California Edison has announced that it aims to replace the lines by 2025 to align itself with legislation that California lawmakers have sent to the governor to sign to prevent wildfires. Sparking power lines are one of the leading causes of California's wildfires. Wildfires have killed dozens of people and destroyed thousands of homes in recent years.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. And police say a man died after being attacked by a shark off a beach on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Wellfleet Police Lieutenant Michael Hurley says the 26-year-old man from Revere succumbed to his injuries, that is, after the attack off Newcomb Hollow Beach in Wellfleet at around noon. Witnesses say he was boogie boarding when the shark aggressively attacked him. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now. Fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, we continue our celebration of National Bourbon Heritage Month, the entire month of September. Again, this has got to be my favorite month because we've got the start of college and NFL football. National Bourbon Heritage Month. The weather, at least here in the cigar city of Tampa, starts to cool down a little bit. And so we get ready to end the year, the last quarter, and what a great way to combine cigars and great spirits. And we have a very special guest, an industry icon, that will join us this hour as we continue talking American whiskeys and bourbons and other American spirits. And it always culminates the last Saturday of the month. We will have a giant tasting, and I can tell you that about three of the spirits I've got right in front of me, bourbons and American whiskeys, we will definitely include them on our gigantic National Bourbon Heritage Month Tasting Maneuver Show. And we welcome you back, hour number two of the Cigar Dave Show, the general and the foremost authority on cigars, spirits, diversions, dice, dames, the alpha male, good life, front and center from Command Center Alpha here in the Cigar City. And it is my pleasure to welcome a giant in the world of bourbon and distilled spirits. We are joined right now by Dave Pickerell, who now has his own firm called Oakview Spirits, but for many, many years, he was the master distiller at Maker's Mark. And let's face it, who doesn't love some Maker's 46? Dave, it is great to have you on the Cigar Dave Show.
Ah, thank you. It's good to be on.
All right, Dave, so tell us, first of all, before we get into how you became a master distiller at Maker's and then you embarked on your own venture really as a consultant and helping so many craft distillers set things up, but give us about your background. Where are you from originally? And give us a little bit about your education and how you got interested in the distilled spirits industry.
Well, I grew up just outside of Dayton, Ohio, in kind of a – I'll classify it as a lower blue-class collar community, and when our family deal was on Sundays, we'd go for a drive. And you couldn't go for a drive without running past a factory or two. And every time I'd be up on my knees, this is before seatbelts, and I'd be peppering Dad with questions. You know, what's that tank for? Why is that pipe over there? How come there's smoke coming out of that thing? And I'd get maybe three or four questions in, and Dad would go, son, the only person that understands that's the chemical engineer. And I think he really just meant, shut up, I'm not answering any more of your stupid questions. But by the time I was 5 years old, I remember we were passing a Kimberly-Clark toilet paper plant, and there was about a four-story tall stack of reject toilet paper out front, and I start peppering Dad with questions again, and he hits me with that same answer. And I came out of my seat, and I grabbed the back of his seat, and I said, then I'm going to be the chemical engineer because I need to understand these things. And that's really the only thing I ever wanted to do in my life. By the time I was 10, I knew I needed every science and math course known to man, and that somebody else was going to have to pay for college. And so I started doing sports just so that I could see if I could earn a scholarship. And lo and behold, West Point offered me a scholarship to play football. And they didn't have chemical engineering, but they had chemistry. But I figured, well, I'm moving the ball in the right direction. So I majored in chemistry, served my five, and I was getting ready to get out. West Point calls up and says, hey, you know, you were a really good student. You got us some notoriety with some of your published papers, and we think we owe you. Would you like to come back as a professor? And I said, all right, I know there's more to this story, so let's have it all. And they said, well, for the mere cost of an additional 6 years, we'll get you a master's in any chemically related industry. And I said, chemical engineering? They said, sure. So I agreed. And they sent me to the University of Louisville. While I was there studying, my mentor discovered that I'm an idiot savant at distilling. And I got, like, on the distillation test, I got a 99, and the next high score was a 35. And they started calling me a grain man. And when I finally finished my military obligation, my mentor just says, the beverage alcohol industry needs you. And he found a consulting job in Louisville that just did beverage alcohol and just put me in it. And so that's how I got started. One of my clients was Maker's Mark, and I'd been consulting for him on and off for about 5-6 years. And one day Bill Samuels just walked out of his office and said, did you know that we're looking for our next master distiller? I said, no, sir, I didn't. He goes, well, that explains why he didn't apply. He says, we just exhausted our whole candidate pool, didn't find anybody we like. We're tired of looking. We like you, and if you want it, the job's yours. And that's how I started being a master distiller. I stuttered for the only time in my life, and it took me about a minute just to say yes, please, and started on the most wonderful jaunt a person could ever have in their lifetime.
Well, I can see now that, because there's an interesting story, because you actually serve as the master distiller for George Washington's distillery in Mount Vernon. And let's face it, the father of our country, George Washington, was not a teetotaler. He also was a distiller. So you were in the Army. I can kind of see the correlation there.
Yeah, I love history, and I love military history in particular. And so George Washington's always been one of my favorite figures. And so back in 2001, when they decided that they were going to rebuild and reestablish George Washington's distillery, they asked Makers if I could be a part of the project. And Makers said yes. And I tell people that's the only mistake Makers ever made. Because while I was working on George Washington's distillery on the side, I fell in love with rye. And as soon as the rye culture came back, I had to leave Maker's Mark and go do things in the rye world.
And we'll get into talking about rye, because really everybody thinks bourbon, and we always say it's the quintessential American spirit, but rye was really the first unique quintessential American spirit before bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Rye predates bourbon by a good 150 years or so. And so I think rye could actually be America's historic spirit. Bourbon wouldn't have existed had it not been for a bunch of distillers getting fed up with the government back in the late 1700s and deciding that they were too close to the flagpole, so they put all their rye and their stills in the boat and headed south and along the Allegheny and Monongahela rivers, and then they hit the falls of the Ohio at Louisville, and got out and found all these farmers that didn't know what to do with all the grain they had. And that's really what started bourbon, was all the rye guys floating down the river.
Dave Pickerell, who is the noted master distiller and the founder of Oakview Spirits, a consulting firm now that consults many of the craft distillers across the country, but really made his name at Maker's Mark as the master distiller, our guest as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. So, Dave, let's talk about you leave West Point. You got a master's degree in chemical engineering, and how do you hook up with Maker's Mark?
Well, there was this little company that doesn't exist anymore that was called Rotec, which is a little consulting firm in Louisville that just did beverage alcohol. And the principal of the company, John Meredith, is probably the third smartest man I ever met. And he just started this little consulting firm, and Makers was one of our clients. And so when I came on board, I did all of the environmental consulting for the company, and Makers had a little environmental issue that had a pinhole leak in an oil line. And so that immediately fell to me to go take care of it. But from time to time, over 5 years, I would just do a little design work from here from time to time and, you know, fix a condenser or fix a cooler or whatever. Just whatever they needed something, I'd pop down there and take care of it, because they didn't have an engineer on staff. And so they got familiar with my line of work and what I could do and my understanding of distillation. When the job came open, literally, I was standing there doing work, and Bill Samuels just waved me over and offered me the job. My application process was non-existent. He just said, "We like you, and if you want this, it's yours." And it was kind of astounding. And then being able to sit at the feet of Bill Samuels for 14 years and watch Makers grow. When I started consulting for Makers, they were about 75,000 cases a year. When I left in 2008, we were making 1.56 million cases a year.
That's incredible, just the incredible growth. So you really saw when you started at Makers, it was well known, but really, would you say it was more like a boutique type of bourbon?
Well, it was mostly a state bourbon. It was almost exclusively Kentucky, a little bleed over into the adjoining states. And it wasn't until after I got there that they started branching out to becoming a regional and then national and then international brand. It just hit all the things at the right time. Makers was really the first premium spirit. Their first ad slogan was "Taste expensive and is."
And that's right.
That's when it was. Everybody was selling their whiskey for about $4.99, and Makers was selling a bottle for $6.99. And so it was a 50% premium. And that was unheard of at that era. They were really the brand that put premium and ultra premium and super premium, into Americans' vernacular when it comes to spirits.
And when we look at the Maker's Mark, I think what's very unique about that is that it does have some soft red winter wheat, which really makes it very smooth. And instead of the usual rye, they put the wheat in. And to me, that's why it's just such a smooth drinking bourbon.
Oh yeah, I've always thought of Makers as a great spot to enter the category because it's easy. It's not an aggressive product at all. It's just an easy drink, and anybody can drink it. And that was what attributed to its success is that it was smoother and mellower because it had wheat instead of rye in the mash bill.
Now, Dave, when you were at Maker's Mark, were you involved with the creation of Maker's 46?
That actually happened just right after I left.
That was really kind of a Samuel swan song.
That was his last major deal before he turned over the reins.
Yeah, I know on that one. I mean, Maker's 46 is to me just a premier bourbon, and they use an innovative wood staving process which matures the maker's mark. I know it casts strength, and then they put some French oak staves in there, and it's just it's a fabulous whiskey. And I know that Makers had a little controversy a few years ago because they wanted to, I think, dilute or take the age statement off, if I'm not mistaken, which most every bourbon has done now. But there was a huge rebellion from the Makers consumers and their ambassadors, and they kind of rescinded their decision at the time.
You know, Makers has an unbelievable following of people, and they're very, very passionate people. And, you know, and kind of their mantra is don't mess with my whiskey. And I think maybe Makers miss a, you know, just didn't quite apprehend the full force of their consumers and their desire for the whiskey not to change in any respect.
Well, and they were always known as really a premium price product, and people think of a premium price product, they want a premium product. So,
right.
But it was very interesting how over the course of a weekend things really changed. So you were at Maker's Mark for how long, you said, 15 years?
So I consulted from 89 to 94, and then in 94 I became the master distiller and was there until 2008.
Okay, so about 14 years. Fantastic.
Right.
Dave Pickerell of Oakview Spirits, former master distiller at Maker's Mark, and now a noted master distiller for hire, really, for many craft distilleries across the country, our guest. So, Dave, you decide to leave Maker's, and at that point, you became kind of really in the industry known as the man to go to if you are going to create a distillery.
Well, you know, it was the right time. You know, the craft spirit movement was just taking off, and there was a lot of need, and you know, Makers had given me a platform to launch off of, and it was just perfect timing. I've never had to advertise. I get to cherry pick who I take, you know, my goal is to help people to see their dreams come true. I call it putting feet on dreams. And so if somebody's got a dream of seeing a craft spirit company come to life, it's my goal to help them see that happen.
On your website, I'm just looking at everything that you do. I mean, basically, if somebody's got the cash, they can call you and you will guide them, because it's not an easy process to set up a distillery. It's not like you say, great, let's start just buying some corn and some rye and let's get things distilling. There's a lot of governmental regulation. There's a lot of oversight that is necessary. And the other thing is it takes time. And I think a lot of people think, okay, let me just get in. I'm going to make a ton of money. It doesn't work that way.
Right. There's no substitute in bourbon for time. I tell people, you know, I'm holistic. You know, either I can do it or I got a guy. That's one of the benefits of being an old distiller is you got a guy. I want to do all the pieces that they can't do. And I'll even help them raise money if they need it. But whatever it takes to get people off the ground and running, that's what I want to do. And I'm only going to do the parts that they either don't want to do or they can't do.
Yeah, and obviously you enjoy it, and I mean, I'm looking at some of your client roster here, and it reads like a who's who of craft distillers, and we'll talk about some of them, but I'm looking Few Spirits, and we've talked to them, Corsair Artisan Distillery up in Nashville, and in fact, we want to get them on, but Garrison Brothers, High Texas, their whiskeys are phenomenal. We've spoken with them on the show. St. Augustine Distillery, Phil McDaniel. In fact, I've toured the facility up in St. Augustine. That's a very cool facility up there, and it's really become a tourist mecca in St. Augustine. Whistlepig, which we'll talk about, and you got some other interesting projects. So you've really worked with across the country with just a wide variety of entrepreneurs and other people that want to get set up and get into the craft distilling business.
Well, you know, it's just don't pinch me because I might wake up and find out I'm a burger flipper. You know, when I first got started, I had this dream that I could capture 25% of all the craft spirits market. And this was when it was still pretty young, and I didn't really anticipate how fast it would blow up. And 1 year I took stock, and at the end of the year, I added up all of the medals that craft spirit companies had won across all competitions during that year. And 24.7% of all the medals were clients of mine. So
that's incredible.
That's as close as I ever got to the 25% line, because the next year there were like 600 distilleries that started operation, and I just couldn't stay on top of it anymore.
But, do most craft distiller clients that come to you, do they want you to assist them in creating the blend, or do they already have an idea of what they want and you kind of work with them to make that come true?
Generally speaking, they have an idea of what they want. And my job, you know, I tell people that with a few exceptions, my job isn't to tell you what to make. My job is to make it really good. And so I try really, in most cases, I would say most. So a couple notable exceptions would be Hill Rock, Whistle Pig, and Metallica. But other than those, by and large, I tell people, you tell me what you want to make. We go through some tastings, and you know, and they give me some guidance about what they want, and then once we get it narrowed down to what they want, then I start putting all the pieces and parts together to make it, to give them what they want and make sure it's really good.
Dave Pickerell, our guest, noted master distiller for Maker's Mark for many years, and now noted consultant and master distiller to the craft spirit industry. Dave, as a master distiller, you obviously must have a favorite, but as a master distiller, you have to sometimes put away your favorite taste to say, hey, this is the market we're going to capture. Just like a cigar blender may say, hey, look, I like a medium-bodied cigar, but we're going to create a super, super full cigar. So you must have your favorites. Is it difficult for you to deviate from your taste profile when working with some of these craft distillers?
Believe it or not, no. I know what products are supposed to taste like. You know, that's one of the things I love doing is, you know, if I go to like a whiskey fest, you know, the first thing I do when I get there is find out what's being poured that I've never tasted. And then during the evening, I'm going to go and taste those things. I've got a really good taste memory and I taste across everything. There's probably not a category I haven't worked to understand. And so when somebody says, you know, hey, I want to make a rye whiskey, you know, I'm going to ask them Monongahela or Maryland style, and then we're going to go from there and apply the right techniques and practices. If they say I want to make a bourbon, great. You want a rye bourbon or a wheat bourbon? If it's a rye bourbon, you want it to be a high rye or a low rye? And we just work our way through, and whatever category they want, we're going to do our best to make it the best we can do.
All right, so what is your favorite taste profile, Dave?
I have gravitated. I think, you know, as most people do, as you move along in life, your palate moves. And honest to goodness, you know, my palate is really moving towards more and more savory. So I like things that have a good high rye content to them. But I also like really full-bodied things. And I'm applying finishes more and more to products, you know, whether it's wines or brandies or some novel finish, just to add some fun additional elements to the taste profile.
So when we talk about high rye, definitely a lot of that sizzle, that peppery. When you say savory, you like some of that spice on the palate.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, I like something that you can pair a really nice Maduro with.
There, now you're talking. I was going to say, Manuel Quesada of Quesada Cigars, when he talks about a cigar with a full body, he says, General, it's got a lot of personality. So you like your bourbons with a lot of personality. Dave Pickerell, who is the former master distiller at Maker's Mark and now senior engineer master distiller of Oakview Spirits, consultant of the craft distillery industry, our guest as we continue on the Cigar Dave Show.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, the Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, drive home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Celebrate your history. Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through October 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through the 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-780.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Great Willie Nelson. Whiskey and weed when it comes to Willie. Probably more weed than whiskey, but probably equal amounts of both. And we continue our celebration the entire month, National Bourbon Heritage Month, and celebrating all American distilled spirits. Pleasure to welcome back to this hour Dave Pickerell, the senior engineer, master distiller, founder of Oakview Spirits, noted master distiller and consultant to the craft distillery industry, and for 14 years, the master distiller at Maker's Mark. You can never go wrong with a bottle of Maker's or Maker's 46. Dave, somebody comes to you, a craft distiller. Let's say I come to you and I say, all right, master distiller Dave, I would like to create a distillery here in the Cigar City. I know nothing about the process. I know what I like to drink. I've got the capital. Guide me. Guide us through the process, how long it takes, what the steps that have to go into it, from A to Z, if you will.
Well, so the first thing we do is we refine exactly what it is they want to do. You know, we'll go if they say, hey, I want to make a bourbon, you know, we'll go get some bourbons. We'll get some high rise, some low rise, some wheaters, and taste through that and say, okay, this is the profile I'm more looking for. Then maybe if they say a low rye, then we'll get a low rye with a young age, a low rye with an old age, a low rye with a finish, and go through a few other things until we can kind of narrow in on what it is they want to do. And then once we start figuring out, okay, what are our sales goals going to be over the next 5 years, 3 to 5 years? So we kind of figure out what's reasonable, and then I start with the hard math. I size all the equipment, get the boilers, the cooling towers, the chillers, the stills, and you know, even down to the design of the still, because that's kind of my specialty is distillation design. And we'll talk vendors for the major equipment, like the still in particular. You know, do we want to do something like Vendome with their column and kettle still? Do we want to do something more pot still like Forsyth? And so we'll pick vendor for the still, then we'll go out for quotes on everything. We're also looking at the space that they've got, you know, what are the fire marshal issues? What are the layout issues? What are the utilities? You know, you need to know how much water, how much natural gas, how much electrical. Do you have sewer lines? Do you have fire lines? So we have to get into all the infrastructure stuff. Then we'll lay it out, order all the equipment, and then start doing all the drawings for the piping and mechanical installation how we're going to lay down the barrels, and then start getting vendors for the barrels, the grains, and all the other things. And, you know, the process typically from the time somebody says we're really ready to go, we've got the money, we also need to apply for their federal permits, which can take 9 months sometimes. So from the time somebody says, let's do this now, it's going to be 9 months to 2 years before we actually turn the keys over to them.
So it's a long process. And, you know, like in the case of St. Augustine Distillery, they had a very unique proposition in that they took over an old ice factory in St. Augustine, about 8 blocks from the historic downtown St. Augustine area. And what's interesting there is it's become a tourist mecca. And I would say they were actually the distillery that changed the sale laws in the state of Florida, where before a distillery, if St. Augustine made whiskey or gin or vodka, whatever the case is, they would have to sell it to a distributor, then buy it back and then sell it. And they finally were able to go to the legislature and lobby to get that changed. And I'll tell you, it's become a huge tourist mecca. And as Phil McDaniel told me, he said, General, we could probably sell every single bottle that we made right out of our factory here, or out of our distillery, but we like having some of the distribution around the state in hotels and in other liquor stores. And I'll tell you, I've got a bottle right in front of me here. And while we move on to that, as we continue talking about it, I think I need a taste. We've been talking about bourbon and rye and all these other great American spirits. I'm going to open up this bottle, and just to let you know that this was from the spring season of 2017, and a bottle that I have just opened up. And what's interesting, very unique about this Florida double cask bourbon is that with the heat in Florida, it's very different than if you're in Kentucky, because if you age these too long with the heat, it's going to be just very woody and just too harsh. And they use a small barrel initially, and then they move it into a larger barrel. So very interesting concept.
Well, you know, you gotta play the hand that Mother Nature deals you. You know, and if you're in Kentucky, you know, the when the whiskey gets down to somewhere around 42 degrees, it just kind of goes to sleep for a while.
Right.
And in St. Augustine, the temperature in the warehouse never gets there, so the whiskey never sleeps. And so we've got, you know, months and months of extra aging time. And, you know, we say our whiskey ages in dog years down there just because it continues to move in and out of the barrel. So you've got to adjust your aging practices to account for the fact that the whiskey's going to age. It's going to extract a lot faster than you would otherwise expect.
Yeah, and what's very interesting, as he said, we went through trial and tribulation. And these small casks, we had them in too long, and it just was way, way too strong, too woody. But I'll tell you, this, taking a sip of this, got some nice warmth, some nice caramel notes on it. You can definitely, you know, taste the corn, and you can taste the fact that it isn't aged, you know, 8 years or 4 years. It's aged, I think, 16 months, but that's okay. It's still a very, very pleasant whiskey or bourbon, and I can tell you that I remember going up there multiple times saying, do you have the bourbon yet? They're like, not yet, not yet, not yet, and boom, when they released it, it went like that. Really successful product.
You know, and I think the one you've got's got some port wine finish on it. Is that correct?
It very well may be. This is just the regular Florida double cask bourbon.
Right.
And yeah, so, I know that they do.
One of the things that's really fun is we were talking. You know, I went down to help them put the initial blend together, and we're tasting it, and we're going, you know what? This could really use a little bit of a time in a port barrel. And we're talking about it. You know, they want to stay local and all this kind of stuff. And one of the things that while we're sitting there talking, St. Sebastian Winery is like right across the parking lot from
that's right.
St. Augustine. And the guy from St. Sebastian calls up and goes, hey, I just dumped a bunch of port barrels. You know anybody that might want them? If we're going, yes, put a bung in them and roll them across the parking lot. So
there you go.
Literally, you can't have a fresher fill barrel. It was just absolutely amazing that it just came out that way, that it was that right at the time we said we thought we needed some, they were right there in our backyard.
It's amazing how life works sometimes. When you least expect it, boom, right in their backyard. And when you think of Florida, you don't think of wineries, and especially having a winery in St. Augustine virtually across the street from St. Augustine Distillery. It really is incredible. So it takes about, Dave, 2 years from the time someone contacts you until the time they are starting distilling. And then after that, if they want to make an aged bourbon whiskey or an American whiskey, whatever the case is, or a rye, you're talking another couple of years minimum after that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's probably the most overlooked thing is what we do is, you know, when people start up, it's how well capitalized are you and how long can you wait before you have to sell stuff? And we'll try to extend that time. I call it developing cash flow projects. And sometimes it's, you know, selling a vodka or a gin to the tourists, which is, you know, great and helps out, you know, like St. Augustine where you got a ton of tourists. Sometimes it's having a venue where you have weddings at the distillery, like Union Horse Distillery in Kansas City, that they sell tons of event space at their facility. One of my distilleries is a distillery in South Central Virginia called Ragged Branch. And these guys are all ag guys. I mean, literally, to get a job in the distillery, you have to be an ag major. And part of their job is working on the farm. And they raise beef cattle and feed them the spent grain. And they've trademarked the name Bourbon Beef. And so they've been selling bourbon beef at a rate that's kept them from having to sell any unaged or young whiskey or any vodka or gin or anything else. So cash flow projects are always a real key to being able to sit on your whiskey till it's ready.
Well, two great products, bourbon and beef. How can you go wrong?
Right. That's a perfect combination. And then when you
Absolutely.
Can get a premium price for it, it's unbelievable.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned talking about creating some revenue while the whiskey or the bourbon ages. I was up in Maine a couple of years ago in Portland, Maine, and I visited with Luke Davidson, who is the proprietor and master distiller at Main Craft Distilling. And, I mean, they've got a 50-stone whiskey that is just phenomenal. But he said, look, we had to get things going early on, so that's why we created a rum and then a gin, a barley spirit, before we could start selling anything that's aged. And then they launched some aged rums and their 50-stone whiskey. But he said initially, you know, while we were laying all these whiskeys and these rums down in barrels, we had to get some cash flow. And so they created some very unique spirits, and I think that's where you see that in many, many craft distilleries across the country.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, that's part of the fun of it for me is tailoring the cash flow projects to the specific facility and the needs of the distiller and their particular bent on life. And it's great fun to see all the interesting things that you can do when necessity jumps into the picture.
Dave Pickerell, master distiller for 14 years at Maker's Mark, and consultant and master distiller, and really a tutor, mentor to many of the craft distilleries across the country. Our guest as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month and celebrate American spirits as well. Dave, let me ask you, it's about a two-year process from the time someone comes to you till the time they're ready to begin distilling. What kind of capital investment, and I'm sure it depends on how large and so on, but ballpark, give us a range for somebody to say, I want to become a craft distillery. I want to be able to sell product out of our own storefront and also maybe do some distribution in our state through a distributor. What kind of capital investment are people talking about for craft distilling?
It varies whether you're making whiskey or vodka or gin. You can certainly, if all you want to do is make gin or vodka, you can get in a lot lower, but If you want to make a good whiskey and actually make a profit at it, you're probably talking initial investment.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind, right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by Gurkha. As cigar connoisseurs, we love sampling cigars with different wrappers, different taste profiles from different countries. And I've got the perfect way that you can sample fabulous cigars delivered directly to you each month. It is the Cigar Dave Officers Club. For $22.95 per month, you will get three of the latest and greatest cigars shipped directly to you each month. We have featured some incredible cigars. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary. From Alec Bradley Cigars, the Prensado Lost Art. We featured the Plasencia Cosecha 146. We had an incredible Davidoff portfolio sampler, and we've got many new cigars that we'll be featuring in the months ahead. So become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join now. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. The Cigar Dave Officers Club. Join CigarDave.com/Officers Club today.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
In a small shack in Kentucky, I've lived most of my life. And I do things my own way. I don't take no one's advice. I'm a simple man.
Dave Pickerell, master distiller for 14 years at Maker's Mark and noted craft distilling consultant and master distiller to many craft distillers across the country, rejoined us for our final segment. All right, Dave, let's talk about some of the clients that you have worked with. And I'm smoking an A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano today, and I can tell you that the Enclave Habano is going to go perfectly with the Whistle Pig Straight Rye Risky 10 that is in front of me. And as I pour it, tell us about Whistle Pig. Interesting story there.
Well, Whistle Pig is, was really the first thing that I had in mind to just go after and be a part of myself for the long term. We partnered up, built a distillery in Vermont, and immediately got hit with the fact that the Vermont government is anti-business and took 4.5 years to get a building permit. So we started by using third-party whiskey, which you know, some people really don't appreciate. But, you know, we went out and got exactly what I wanted to make anyway from the only distillery in the world that was capable of doing that, and launched a whiskey that that within 4 months had been rated 96 as the highest ever rated rye whiskey by wine enthusiasts. And we were off to the racetrack. the 10-year-old that you've got, I call Mr. Versatile. It's designed to be consumed however you want. Meat, rocks, water, in a cocktail, however you want it. And certainly pulling up a really nice cigar and just sitting back and sipping it can't be much better than that.
I'll tell you what, this ride got some I'm getting some nice citrus on here. And definitely got a little bit of spiciness to it, but very, very pleasant. Nice long, very warm on the finish.
And you know, I tell people the finish on Whistle Pig is so long it needs its own zip code.
It really does. On the Cigar Dave Warm Factor, it's a 10. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's go to some. Let's go to Texas. From Vermont, and by the way, I can't believe Bernie Sanders is not business friendly. Who would have thought? But let's go to Texas, and a state that is business friendly. And you got Garrison Brothers, and they have got a great story. You work with them, and I'll tell you what, their whiskeys are absolutely fantastic.
You know, they're one of the first ones to really demonstrate what I call Texas terroir. I mean, you know, the summer the weather is so hot and so dry there that you get a clearly differentiated maturation. And I don't know, which one do you have in front of you, the regular bourbon or the cowboy?
Oh, No, I got the cowboy. We're going with the alpha male, kicking the ass, 137 proof.
The cowboy bourbon is definitely, you know, an opinionated bourbon that says you need to stand up and salute when you drink this one.
And let me say cheers. I'm going to down the hatch, as we say, take a sip here. And I know Dan told me this was his favorite. Whoa, this is uncut. It is cask strength. This is for the alpha male that really wants a lot of personality coming down the pipe.
It is. It's really good. You know, it just bakes it down there. So you get a little bit of that Texas heat in the whiskey that just really sets this one apart.
All right, let's talk about Metallica, the band. You're working on a Black and American whiskey with them.
Oh, this one is so much fun. This was one of those exceptions that we talked about where the idea was they came to me and it was more like a commissioning, one artist to another. They said, we want to be involved in whiskey. We want to be in it for the long term. Make us something that we can be proud of. And so I took away three things. The band is collaborative. They think out of the box, and they have this process they call metallicizing where they kick things up a notch or two after they're already good. So we've got a networking. I reached out to companies all over North America and got really well-curated supply of nicely aged spirits, Canadian rye, whiskey from Tennessee, from Kentucky, from Indiana, just all over the place, things that you would have been pleased to just take and put your name on. But that wasn't enough. We had to collaborate, so I married them all together. And that's a little out of the box. And then we put it in brandy barrels and then hit it with black noise, which is a process that we're patenting, where you take ultra-low frequency sound waves, in this case Metallica music, and to hit the barrels. And the idea, it's not fast staging, it's just enhancing. But the idea is to get the frequency at the right low pitch so that it will cause the molecules between the wood and the whiskey to vibrate and give you more intimate contact so you can pull some more caramels and things out of the barrel.
That I cannot wait to try. And we're really tight on. Yeah, I can't wait to try that. We're going to link because you've got Hill Rock and Jay Rieger, George Washington Distillery. We're going to put links to all the sites, the craft distillers that you're involved with at CigarDave.com. Dave Pickerell, master distiller for 14 years at Maker's Mark and now the master distiller to many craft distilleries and his own consulting firm, Oakview Spirits. Dave, really want to thank you for joining us as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show.
Loved having you. Cigar Dave, the general saying, may your humidor always be full. May your cutter always be sharp. May your ash be extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Keep making bourbon great to all the craft distillers and master distillers. Tomorrow, my Bills, it's going to be a long season, but go Bills anyway.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Breaking news and analysis. From townhall.com, I'm Val Dior. The latest word from officials in North and South Carolina confirms at least 11 have been killed by Florence, now a tropical storm that is in no hurry to move on. More than 2 feet of rain has fallen in some places, and much more is on the way as emergency workers work into the night, going door to door to help those that are trapped.
Jim Barton lives in Jacksonville, North Carolina, not far from Camp Lejeune. He says when Florence arrived, the water started to rise fast.
Within an hour, it could come up probably 2 foot and put the wife and the dog to higher ground. But,
Barton stayed close to keep an eye on things.
Make sure we had to put anything up to higher ground.
Meantime, forecasters say Florence is practically stationary. Neil Jacobs of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says that could mean
potential landslides. And the flooding is far from over.
I'm Ben Thomas.
The storm expected to swing to the northeast over the mid-Atlantic states and into New England by midweek. President Trump has decided to impose new tariffs on about $200 billion of Chinese imports, including, according to the Wall Street Journal.
The president is going ahead with new tariffs after saying last week that such a move could come very soon. The Journal cited sources who said the tariff level will likely be set at 10%, below the 25% announced earlier this year. White House spokeswoman Lindsay Walters declined comment on the timing of a possible announcement, but said the president has been clear that he and his administration will continue to take action to address China's unfair trade practices. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says the latest claims about him are not true. He strongly denies a sexual misconduct allegation from when he was in high school, an accusation Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein notified federal investigators about. More at townhall.com.
Are your credit cards maxed out? Do you owe more than $10,000? Are you juggling your bills only making minimum payments? Credit card companies are playing a dirty trick on you. They want you to think you must pay it all back, and that's simply not true. Credit card companies hate it when we expose their secrets. In fact, there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. National Debt Relief offers programs that help you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $1 billion of debt. National Debt Relief has earned an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're also the number one rated debt relief program by top consumer reviews and top 10 reviews. Don't declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. Settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call National Debt Relief now at 800-645-1660. 800-645-1660. 800-645-1660.
Many inner-city residents have poor health despite access to excellent medical care. Dr. Snyderman tells us about a new approach to a city's health.
Dr. Shelley Chu of the Baltimore City Health Department spoke at a World Congress event about Healthy Baltimore 2020. Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation is funding an experimental citywide computer network to coordinate medical services, social services, and criminal justice to respond to addiction, violence, malnutrition, and homelessness. If successful, this model may be adopted by other cities. This is Dr. Charles Snyder reporting from Alexandria, Virginia.
A niece of the woman who helped kidnap Elizabeth Smart in 2002 says she doesn't know of any family members willing to take the woman when she's released from prison next week. Wanda Barzee became a disturbing figure for members of her own family after she helped in the kidnapping of Smart, who was a teenager at the time. Barzee's niece, Tina May, says she's still horrified by the crime and was surprised by the announcement that Barzee would be released early. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. SpaceX says it has signed the first private moon traveler.
The big reveal on who it is and when the flight to the moon will be announced tomorrow. It's not the same mission plan that SpaceX founder Elon Musk outlined last year. The original plan called for two paying passengers to fly around the moon this year using a Falcon Heavy rocket and a Dragon crew capsule. The new strategy is to still fly around the moon, but using an even bigger SpaceX rocket still in development that has its own dedicated passenger ship. Rich Thomason reporting.
Police say a man has died after being attacked by a shark off a beach on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Wellfleet Police Lieutenant Michael Hurley says the 29-year-old man succumbed to his injuries following the attack in the waters off Newcomb Hollow Beach in Wellfleet. Life-saving measures were attempted on the beach before he was transported, but was pronounced dead at the hospital. He was boogie boarding when he was attacked. This is Town Hall News.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
From the Fox News Radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. We have a lot to go over today, a lot to address immediately, as well as a great roster of guests. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West waits in the wings. He's concerned about Texas. He's got a book coming out about it, even about how Texas is running from its heritage, Stephen A. Austin School. Can you imagine that? They're trying to take the name off because Stephen A. Austin had slaves. Ken Starr served an independent counsel into the Clinton administration. He now says there should not be any Clinton, there should not be any independent counsels. He's got a book out called Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. And we're following, which could be the devastating effects of Hurricane Florence. Now a Category 4, expect to hit landfall in North Carolina within 48 hours. We'll bring you the latest on that, what it means for North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. So in the meantime, let's get to the Big Three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three. Number three.
Today's terrorism threat still includes sleeper cells, Al-Qaeda, all the kind of major terrorist organizations that you would think of. But we're also very focused now on homegrown violent extremists.
That is Chris Wray, the FBI director, who needs a shot of adrenaline. 9/11, 17 years later, we continue to battle the terror threat in our homeland as the time bomb goes off, as thousands contract cancer and are dealing with that today because they were on the pile 17 years ago today. War rages in Afghanistan. Are we winning where Al-Qaeda once thrived? And I'll look at the day of remembrances and the dedication of a sky tower for Shanksville passengers on Flight 93.
Number two.
So if you look again at the blue part on the left, you can see that there's a clear downward trend going on in the growth rate of that for President Obama, and then a clear inflection timed almost precisely once again at the election.
Economists don't usually do politics, but by doing economics in this case, they did politics. That was Kevin Hassett. Whose economic miracle is it? Obama's or Trump's? Obama wants it. Trump actually authored it. He makes his case, too, through Kevin Hassett. Good news for them because the facts are on their side if you're a Trumper.
Number one.
Dowd thought if he'd been Mueller, he would have been fired right on the spot.
Right.
You can't testify. You are disabled.
That's what Bob Woodward claims. John Dowd said to the President of the United States. The problem is, John Dowd said he never said it, nor did Bob Woodward ask him about it. Bob Woodward, from reporter to Trump detractor, let the battle begin. Instead of the Bob Woodward, this is what strikes me about this book, as opposed to Bush at War and the Obama books and the Clinton books that he wrote. He wrote 9 or 10 overall. And, of course, he made himself famous in the Washington Post when he did that Woodward and Bernstein investigation into the Nixon administration, which ultimately took him down for the Washington Post. Bob Woodward seems to be an activist now. He seems to be the new David Frum, the new George Will, the new Michael Moore, saying that the President of the United States is incompetent. Everybody knows it. We've got to pray there's no crisis. The problem is, Chris Christie says, these quotes that are attributed to me, I never said them, and no one ever asked me to verify it. Well, I just had Rudy Giuliani 1 hour ago on our couch. He said, the meeting I was not at, and the things they said I was said at the meeting I wasn't at, I obviously didn't say. And you know what? I would have returned Bob Woodward's call. Why did he not call me? So Woodward makes these major allegations about the inner workings of the Trump administration. Now, keep in mind, Donald Trump not thinking about that today. He's off to Shanksville. Air Force One left at 8 o'clock Eastern time to talk about the new Sky Tower there, the Sky of Voices. And there's going to be these wind chimes there in the middle of nowhere where the plane went down, Flight 93, 17 years ago, which we now know is Shanksville. So the president not thinking about that at this moment. But when he comes back, this will be hitting him in the face. And that is the allegations that are coming forward that's not going to help him at all, or the him in the midterms at all, from Bob Woodward, who we heard the tape already of Bob Woodward trying to explain to the president why he didn't sit down and interview the president, saying, I asked for an interview, you didn't give it to me, and the president saying, that's not how I remember it. But having said that, the president doesn't, Bob Woodward, the theory is, didn't really want to hear another side. He wanted to hear people who said that they were there at a meeting so they can recall the best they can. And by taping them, he wants us to believe them. Saying that Kelly and Mattis essentially think the president's got the foreign policy acumen of a fourth grader, and Kelly calls him an idiot. Now, he vehemently denies both of them. They said this is a work of fiction. So Bob Woodward on last night with Stephen Colbert, cut one.
Right at the end, after they've practiced a session in the White House, and, you know, and the lawyer acts like he's Mueller and he asks the questions of Trump, and Trump goes ballistic, makes things up, starts screaming. Dowd thought if he'd been Mueller, he would have been fired right on the spot.
Right.
You can't testify. You are disabled. I mean, imagine the lawyer, your lawyer telling you're disabled.
Right.
And you can't testify because you can't tell the truth. You just make things up.
Okay, that is a total aberration of what we heard anyway. And I haven't read through the book yet, but I saw the excerpts. What he said is he's trying to convince the president that when you sit down with Robert Mueller, who's already interviewed thousands of people, it's very easy to fall into some type of trap. And he said, Mr. President, it's not your fault. Look at all the stuff you've already done today. How are you supposed to remember what happened years ago now? And when it comes to John Kelly and James Mattis, they say flat out what he said never happened. Cut to.
They are not telling the truth. These people, these are political statements to protect their jobs. Totally understandable. But this is as carefully done as you can do an excavation of the reality of what goes on.
You know, I'm starting, you know, Bob Woodward, for the most part, it interviews people, not the main subjects, but interviews other people that were in the room, whether it's note takers or undersecretaries. And he says, what do you know? And he tries to collaborate two or three stories and then goes with the story without even talking to the subject himself. And that's why so many people, because he doesn't put any footnotes in, have problems. Because he deals with people of impact like presidents of the United States. He says these things happen. And other people say, no, it never happened. And Bob Woodward tells a lot of books. But in this case, I think he's got a responsibility to be candid and back up his statements and show. Let me see the General Kelly interview. Cut three.
Do you ever take into account what the motive of the source is? Because I read this book, and there are people in this book, for instance, Rob Porter, who is staff secretary, who had to leave under the cloud of a scandal for spousal abuse.
Yes.
But I read the book, and absent that knowledge about him, you read about Rob Porter, and you go, oh, I wish that guy was still there, because he comes off as a like Horatio at the bridge trying to keep Donald Trump from doing crazy things. Are these people telling you their story so they're portrayed well in history?
No, because somebody will say something and somebody else will have a document. Oh, yes, I remember that. And you can put it together with often microscopic detail and often with the kind of, you know, that's exactly what happened and that's what was said.
Oh, that's Bob Woodward saying. But yesterday we heard, or 2 days ago now, Governor Christie was sitting on the set of This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and he basically said, you know, I'm quoting this book. I never said these things, and no one ever went back to even verify that I said these things. So if everybody's saying that they never said these things, are we supposed to believe any one side wholeheartedly? Sarah Sanders yesterday, cut four.
And a number of people have come out and said that Woodward never even reached out to corroborate statements that were attributed to them, which seems incredibly reckless for a book to make such outrageous claims, to not even take the time to get a $10 fact checker to call around and verify that some of these quotes were happening. When no effort was made, it seems like a very careless and reckless way to write a book.
Here we go. Amorosa's out there releasing tapes. Anonymous editorial writers saying how bad it is. And Bob Woodward with his book out. While the Washington Post and New York Times, MSNBC and CNN constantly beat on the president. There's a new poll out that he went from 48% approval rating, 46% approval rating a week ago in the Wall Street Journal, to now it's 38% approval. It's amazing it's even 5% with this type of constant attack. And this president definitely doesn't make things easier because he takes on every single fight, does not miss a minute, watches every show and every network. So the other big story the president has going for him, he's got a pretty good track record. North Korea, it seems like the peace agreement has been woken up. We understand with NATO, we're getting to pay more. The trade deals are beginning to come in. EU is close. NAFTA is being redone. We also know the deal with Mexico is finished. So we see the economy roaring, including blue-collar jobs and wages increasing. So this kind of surprised me. Cut 10.
But when you hear about this economic miracle that's been going on, when the job numbers come out, monthly job numbers, and suddenly Republicans are saying it's a miracle. I have to kind of remind them, actually, those job numbers are the same as they were in 2015, in 2016.
Not the labor participation, not the unemployment rate. It was about 5%, and now it's 3.8%. Now, not the blue-collar jobs, not the manufacturing, and we have a cut in corporate taxes, which even he wanted to do, and that's coming through. Please tell me what economic principle, program, that President Obama put in place to fuel the economy. What are his beliefs? We had a 1.9% growth under him on average. Fine. We coming out of the Great Recession, I get it. But you also got $1 trillion to pull us out, and you had 0% interest rates urging people to take out a loan. Now those interest rates are going back to normal proportions. So when we come back a little bit later in this hour, I'm going to play what Kevin Hassett said, the president's one of the president's chief economic counsels, about what he said about the reality of what our economy is doing compared to what our economy was doing when President Obama was president. Then you make the call. When we come back, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West will be joining us. He's a senior fellow at the Media Research Center. He's got a book coming out called Hold Texas, Hold the Nation. And guess what? The Ted Cruz Senate seat is very much in jeopardy, as well as Texas's legacy of pride. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Giving you everything you need to know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
A
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-6934 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-6934. Again, that's 800-318-6934.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah. Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Radio commercials have been in our popular culture since 1922, but the decades of the 50s and 60s provided iconic performers hawking all kinds of products, like Dinah Shore for Chevrolet.
Viva USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Wilson Pickett for Pepsi.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk.
think of nothing more American than to peacefully stand up or take a knee for your rights anytime, anywhere, any place.
And that is just a little of the Beto O'Rourke speech that a lot of people are hailing him for, like LeBron James, to try to justify the taking a knee in the NFL. He talked about the epidemic of police shootings of black men in America. Is it an epidemic of police shootings of black men in America? Let's ask Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who has a book out very appropriate because Texas might indeed be changing. The name of his upcoming book is Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. Colonel, welcome back. What's your reaction to O'Rourke now suddenly catching fire in Texas going against Ted Cruz?
Well, it's good to be with you, Brian, and always remember 9/11. And when I look at what is happening here in Texas, and the reason why I wrote the book is because you have people that are leaving these failed states, California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, businesses and corporations as well, and they're coming here to Texas where you have all the right policies for economic growth, but yet they're still bringing their same failed ideological mentality. And so when you have a person like Bob O'Rourke, that's really his nickname. I mean, this faux nickname that they have given him to make him seem Hispanic when he's just an Irishman. I think that when you look at these major population centers that have transitioned, you know, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, where he's from, and, of course, Austin, that's where he's finding his popularity. The people here in Texas do not hold the values of Representative O'Rourke. The people here in Texas don't believe that taking a knee during the national anthem is a high regard or a means by which you show, you know, that sense of what America is all about. Today, remember, we saw what America's all about when you had firefighters and policemen that were running into the arms of death to try to save America. That's what this country's all about.
Yeah, I mean, Texas in particular, let's stay there for a second. You know, if you lose Texas, you got the Republicans could lose the Senate. Ted Cruz is basically in a neck-and-neck fight by two people who couldn't disagree more. I mean, this guy can speak, I'll give you that. But what he says is something that I don't think is jives with what Texas is outside Austin. If you're Ted Cruz, how do you bring some sanity back to this race, Texas sanity?
Well, the important thing is Senator Cruz is trying to get Representative O'Rourke to debate him, and he refuses to do that. Why? Because he cannot stand any scrutiny or really any open challenge to these things that he believes in, you know, repealing the tax cut law, impeaching the president, abolishing ICE, having open borders. That's not what's going to work here in Texas. And I think that what you have seen happen here in Texas is that the local media and the national media, as you see everywhere else, they have flooded in here with a lot of money from the left to try to prop him up. We saw that in the special election in Georgia. We see that in other cases all across the country. But when I look at the race between Governor Abbott and his Democrat challenger, Governor Abbott is ahead by 23 points. So let's just hope and pray that, you know, Senator Cruz will be able to ride that coattail of Governor Abbott.
I guess. And he's got to work hard because I heard he has not been as busy as he should be. So the president's going to go and help him out. The problem is the president's already on record calling him a lying Ted. So that's not I don't know how much is that going to help.
Well, I think, you have to put all of the past exchanges aside and realize President Trump realizes that he does need to have a very solid, strong Senate. And it would be a Senate that can go past the 60-vote threshold so that he can make sure he gets a lot of his economic growth agenda and foreign policy agenda through. And let's be very honest, maybe he'll get the opportunity to appoint one or two more Supreme Court justices. So that's why the Senate is very important. And from a national perspective, if you lose Texas, that's 38 electoral votes. That's why the left wants Texas, because they pretty much still have a lock on California. And think about that glide path to get to 270 in the 2020 election.
We're talking with Colonel Alan West. Colonel, you wrote about this, and it matters to me because I'm researching a book, Sam Houston, Avenging the Alamo. And I've gotten to really understand Texas's path from their independence to their own nation to their quest to become a part of this nation and how it could have went either way. And the valor that they showed at the Alamo and how their unfathomable win at San Jacinto. And now the person who is the father of Texas, whose dad's idea it was for Texas, Stephen A. Austin, is under attack?
Yeah, the people down there in the city of Austin think that they should change the name of Austin. And also today on 9/11 here in Texas, there's going to be a State Board of Education hearing because they want to remove any reference about the stand at the Alamo, those incredible 13 days of 183 Texans to include, you know, Tennessee volunteers, and I'm a graduate of the University of Tennessee. They want to remove the word heroic from all historic references about what happened at the Alamo. To me, that is absolutely disgusting, despicable, and I cannot understand how anyone would make that recommendation. The Alamo and what happened there in Texas and, you know, in Gonzales in 1835 of October when they told the Mexican cavalry to come and take it, that's indicative of the Texas way of life. That's indicative of, you know, that Texas swagger that so many people have come to learn, love, and respect. But yet we have this political correctness that is slipping into our education system, or system of indoctrination, I should say, that wants to remove the word heroic from those defenders of the Alamo. Yeah.
Colonel, thanks so much for making the stand and putting people aware. Look forward to your book, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation.
North State Security is currently celebrating our 50th year of providing security services throughout the Northern California region. The next few moments I'd like to spend recruiting you as an employee of North State Security. What a better way to help make a difference in the quality of life we all deserve to experience in the greater Redding area. Becoming a licensed security officer here at North State Security is a fabulous way to help make Redding a safer place to reside and conduct business. Call us at 243-0295 or stop by our headquarters at 1970 Hartnell Avenue for more information. We are offering a unique opportunity right now. Join our ranks and immediately become eligible for winning a luxury houseboat for a week from Shasta Marina, $500 in meat from R&R Meats, or $500 shopping spree at Costco, all valued clients of ours. Becoming an employee of North State Security to win one of these exciting prizes and help make the North State a safer place to be. How can you beat an opportunity like that? North State Security, 243-0295, or visit personally, 1970 Hartnell Avenue, Redding.
One country act is great, but Red Bun Festival is bringing you five country acts on an outdoor stage to benefit car fire relief. It's a full-volume country fest on the Redding Civic Auditorium lawn, Sunday, September 30th, with Farron Rachels, David Lennon, Carly Pierce, Frankie Ballard, and headliners Eli Young Band. It's a huge show with a huge heart. $5 from every ticket, plus all net proceeds and donations from the bands go to car fire relief efforts. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 donated. We promise bars, food trucks, and fun. So check out RedSunFestival.com for details. Rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th on the Redding Civic Lawn. Get tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Redding Civic box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Redding Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-7800.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In August of 1970, New York attorney Bella Abzug, one of the most outspoken leaders in the growing women's movement, gave testimony on the Equal Rights Amendment.
We felt this transcendent joy, for woman's life has been imminent, as Simone de Beauvoir did. It has never been completely human, because so few of us have had this great experience.
that all of us have had tonight of creating in history, of taking the torch from those great women who won us the vote 50 years ago and carrying that torch high so that it will shine on the lives not only of our daughters, but shines in our own faces in self-affirmation.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. Nick Lyon will be put on trial on suspicion of involuntary manslaughter. Lyon isn't accused of actually harming anyone. He's the health director of the state of Michigan. It was on his watch that the unsafe water crisis happened in Flint, Michigan. People were drinking tainted water. People got sick. Some people died, including two elderly men who contracted Legionnaire's disease. Prosecutors say Nick Lyon did not respond quickly enough to the water crisis.
This defendant, he had one motive and one motive only, and that was to push this under the table.
But his lawyer says Lyon is not to blame.
There's no evidence that he knew anything more about the outbreak because it wasn't elevated to his attention.
The crisis began when the city of Flint changed the source of its water supply to the Flint River, which corroded the lead pipes and tainted the water that people were drinking. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
Show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
All right, welcome back, everybody. With me in studio, if you're smart enough to be watching live on the stream at BrianKilmeadShow.com, is Ken Starr. His brand new book out is called Contempt, a Memoir of the Clinton Investigation. And to be fair and balanced and honest, we share a respect for Bria Sanford.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At Penguin Random House, she was my editor. I gather she's worked with you.
Absolutely.
You don't need to be edited. I did.
No, I think you're wrong. She's a genius. And I think reading your book, I was able to get through a little bit of it, but I just got it this morning. And this is the morning of 9/11, and we got a number four hurricane heading to North and South Carolina, as well as slamming Virginia. Yeah. But I was able to go through it. You really feel as though this is the first time, Ken Starr, that you are actually going over in detail the investigation, the Clinton investigation, from your point of view?
First time. Contempt, the book tells the story. It's the inside story from my perspective. You know, the subtitle is A Memoir, and it's my memoir. It's my best recollection of what happened, and I go into detail about things that people just don't know about, including the possible indictment of Hillary Clinton.
What took so long for you to put this in paper?
I was busy. I was doing other stuff. I was doing Baylor, different stuff, and I had written two books. But the other thing, Brian, was Hillary lost the election. So I was freed up personally. She lost the election, so I just said, it's time.
What would be, you couldn't do something on her if she had won?
Yeah, I could have, but it just made it, everything came together, right, that she lost the election. I've now got flexibility, flourishing in freedom. That means it's time to do it.
So, Ken, you write in your book that the first time you heard about the would-be Clinton scandals of this governor from Arkansas was when you got picked up by a state cop from the airport?
Yeah, well, it wasn't the first time I heard about it, but it was the first time that then, welcome to Arkansas. And so I'm giving a speech in Hot Springs in June of 1992, so the Democratic nomination contest was still on. Bill Clinton was about to wrap it up. And so I'm ferried around by a uniformed state trooper who started telling me Bill Clinton's story. So that was my introduction, you know, welcome to Arkansas and Bill Clinton's world.
Believable?
Yeah. Here's an example of what he said. The trooper said, hey, you're sitting in the front seat. That's just like Bill. I tell the story in the book. I said, Bill, he said, the governor. I said, oh, I didn't know who Bill was, but that's just like Bill. And then he said that during the course of our time together over several hours, he said that he had never voted for Bill, And he told Bill that. And so I thought, well, recriminations, right? No, he said, oh, no, Bill's not like that. And he tried to argue him into voting for him. In those days, the governor was elected every 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, just was like a member of the House of Representatives. And the trooper said, Bill, you don't support law enforcement. The governor, Governor Clinton. Now, you know I've never revealed his name. I don't reveal it in the book, but I tell the story. And you don't support law enforcement? No, I understand what you're saying, but I had to take care of the teachers, right? He said, well, that's the point. I have to lay carpet and linoleum on weekends and so forth to make ends meet because I love my job. So it was a very fascinating introduction to the personality and, frankly, the charm of Bill Clinton.
Right.
Riding in the front seat, you know, man of the people.
Two things. Clinton's not known for big on law enforcement, not known for big on the military, especially Hillary.
Yeah.
I've heard this from more people that she just despised. She says, don't even wear the uniform around me. I don't know what happened to her as a child, but she seems to be anti-military. Would have been made her a scary president.
Well, remember, she really became a member of the left wing at Wellesley College. And one of the things in trying to understand Hillary Clinton, this book gives my take on it. She is still a student of Saul Alinsky, a radical who wrote the book Rules for Radicals,
which we heard a lot about with President Obama.
Absolutely. So we need to just step back. People may love the country, but they've got a radically different approach to what is good for the country. Rules for Radicals. And Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radicals gave her the inspiration to write. She interned for him, and she wrote her senior thesis at Wellesley. So she's smart. We never underestimate Hillary in terms of her abilities. But what guides her is not, you know, her youth as a Goldwater girl and going to the United Methodist Church.
Gotcha. Ken Starr, how did you first get on the Whitewater case? What prompted it, and how were you selected?
Well, I drew a short straw. Under the old independent counsel statute, and I described this process in the book, the three-judge panel, three federal appellate judges established under the statute, do the selection at the Attorney General's recommendation. So Attorney General Reno says, okay, the statute's back in effect. We need an independent counsel. Please reappoint the person. Again, I tell the story. Bob Fisk, who was already on the job in Little Rock, and one of the things that I say, so I the judges
asked me to
start. On the
job doing what? Investigating this investment from the Clintons.
This very thing. So Bob Fisk was appointed a great attorney here in New York, great attorney who was already on the job, appointed by Attorney General Janet Reno to look into Whitewater. So when I arrive, as I describe in the book, when I arrive in Little Rock in August 1994, Bob Fisk says, Ken, move your family to Little Rock. You're going to be here for a long time.
Wow. And when you start looking at this, who appointed you?
The three-judge panel.
Because they felt as though, what were they looking for? Some type of corruption when it came to these investments in Whitewater.
Yes, because here's what happened. The regulatory authorities, called the Resolution Trust Corporation at the time, the RTC, had investigators out. So these were forensic experts, financial analysts, and so forth. And they were looking into the collapse of Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan, which was owned by Bill and Hillary's good friends and business partners in Whitewater, James and Susan McDougal. That's how it all started.
So it started. So you start looking into this. How does a Whitewater investigation morph into an affair with an intern?
I lay this out in the book. But here, in a nutshell, is what happened. There was a woman named Linda Tripp who had been a very important witness for us in the part of the investigation that we were doing on Vince Foster Jr. He took his own life in Fort Marcy Park. She was the last person to see him alive. She was Vince Foster's executive assistant. Years go by. She calls us up. She says, you know me. You know me from the Vince Foster death investigation. There is a young woman, Monica Lewinsky, who is now encouraging me, urging me to file a false affidavit in the Paula Corbin Jones case. That's the connection. So
Paula
I go to
Jones.
The Attorney General.
Paula Jones, an accuser of accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault.
Exactly. So I immediately gather the information, go to the Attorney General, Janet Reno in the Clinton administration. She sends someone over from the Justice Department, a very senior prosecutor, looks, evaluates what we have. She says, this has got to be investigated, and stars the person to investigate it. So she goes to the special division.
Man, if President Trump has a problem with Sessions, says he's not loyal enough, Janet Reno is not exactly watching President Clinton's back, right?
Hey, because she was at that time, frankly, Brian, she was doing her job, right? The attorney general is supposed to follow the law, and she was at that time. And so she was an honest cop and said, hey, this has to be investigated.
You start looking into it, and then you see there's a lot there. Also, I want to stop you for a second, because in the book you say Vince Foster reminds me a lot of me, meaning you. What is it about Vince Foster that reminds him of you?
For one thing, he was probably overthought things, overly analytical, and probably just needed to get over things that go wrong, and we all can take things personally and disappointments and so forth. And I have to control that. If things are going wrong, I have to really self-discipline to say, no, you can turn it around and so forth. Walk on the sunny side of the street.
And he couldn't, and he killed himself. And you do believe that was a suicide, right?
There's 100% certainty. There's not even any uncertainty that he committed suicide.
So you go down the Lewinsky angle, and Lewinsky feels as though Linda Tripp betrayed her, the story goes, which she really did in order to, which he says, pursue justice.
Well, that's right. I mean, one can say whatever one wants to about Linda Tripp. I view her as a good person who said, and she had mixed motives, there's no question, because she was working back channel with the lawyers who were working for Paula Corbin Jones, either directly or indirectly, on the sexual harassment case arising out of the horrible incident at the Excelsior Hotel. And so I tell the story that Linda, I think, even though she had mixed motives, was determined to protect herself, but also to see justice done.
She felt so that Lewinsky was being taken advantage of, and she didn't even realize it then.
I agree with that. I think she was, and Monica, by the way, never underestimate Monica Lewinsky. She's extremely smart, very manipulative, and she kept us waiting, as I describe that first night back in 1998, in January of 1998. She kept us in the independent counsel's office waiting and twiddling our thumbs for hours on end when we were trying to get her to cooperate because she had committed perjury.
When she did cooperate, what did she tell you?
She told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And as I outline in the book, Brian, it was remarkable how prodigious her memory was. She remembered every detail. And I'm not talking about just the salacious stuff. She remembered precisely what was happening, the conversations that the president was having in and around the time that they were having fun. And it was all corroborated fully by White House telephone records and Secret Service records and the like. It was a remarkable ability to recall.
Is it illegal to cheat on your wife?
Yeah. It's not illegal. It used to be. It's not illegal, but it certainly is immoral.
Right. But if he had told the truth to you and Bill Clinton came clear as president and said, yeah, I had an affair with an intern, Ken, what's a big deal?
Yeah, there would be no big deal if there were no issue of rule of law and the honest administration of justice. Crossing the line into we're going to file a false affidavit, we're going to encourage others to lie, we're going to...
Just to cover the affair.
Just to cover the
affair.
But
if he had come to you and said, yeah, I had an affair, I'd rather not make it public.
Big deal.
Yeah. So instead he came out and said, I did not have an affair with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. But this is how it ended up in August 1998.
That's how it ended.
Let's listen.
Complete responsibility for all my actions, both public and private. And that is why I'm speaking to you tonight. As you know, in a deposition in January, I was asked questions about my relationship with Monica Lewinsky. While my answers were legally accurate, I did not volunteer information. Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong.
What happens after that?
That's when the house of cards came tumbling down. He had crossed the line in the grand jury, and I'll always remember that day. And I recount this in some detail from my personal perspective, watching the President of the United States lie under oath in the map room, the historic map room of the White House. I had a knot in my stomach. It was just sickening, because the president had been told by leaders of his own party, we know you lied. I'm paraphrasing. We know you lied in your civil deposition in the Paula Corbin Jones case, but don't cross the line into perjury in front of a federal grand jury.
And he's a lawyer.
And he's a lawyer. And that's what he was doing right in front of us as we were posing the questions. That's what he did. But more than that, I need to add one thing. When you look at the referral that's called the Star Report, the final count, count 11, that we fashioned was abuse of power. That is what connected, in our view, what happened in Whitewater Lewinsky with what happened in Watergate. He abused his powers as president in order to cover up, prevaricate, encourage others to lie, and so on.
When we come back, Ken Starr goes over things that he has not said publicly before that you could only get if you buy the book or listen to this show. That story more when we come back on the Brian Kilmeade Show. Ken Starr's here.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-316-4935. That's 800-316-4935. 800-316-4935.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
Celebrate your history. Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through October 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through the 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Election Day is fast approaching,
and the issues at stake in any election are important to all Americans, as each of us has a vital responsibility to vote on November 6th. Well, many people choose not to vote because they don't believe that their vote counts, or they don't know enough about the candidates and the issues. Well, Pacific Justice Institute has prepared an important free guide called The Church and Politics. Now, this guide will help church leaders understand their legal rights to provide their congregations with information to inform them about the upcoming election. Visit pji.org and download this guide for free.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Here, his book Contempt is out, a memoir of the Clinton investigation, never been told before, and it's been told in great detail. Ken's got a great memory, and also is very well documented. Ken, real quick, a couple of things that we did not know. When Bill Clinton was talking to you, he wasn't telling the truth a lot of times, but he was amiable, and he was deferential, and he was polite. How would you characterize Hillary Clinton?
Very cold, very icy. It was a complete contrast to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is a charmer with his famous charisma. Hillary was exactly the opposite. And we almost came to the conclusion she's behaving in an odd way. It's almost in your face. And I describe this in the book, that we were really taken aback. And we did, in fact, consider not as a fit of pique, but actually bringing an indictment against her because, among other reasons, her purported failure of memory was simply incredible.
On what?
Everything. Virtually every aspect of our investigation, when we would ask her questions in interviews at the White House, she perfected.
On the Whitewater investigation.
Correct.
On the Whitewater part.
Yeah, nothing to do with
nothing
Lewinsky.
Lewinsky.
Yeah, we did not question her on Lewinsky.
Absolutely.
At all. Right.
Right.
Yeah, but it was just, not that I recall, I don't recall. It became almost mechanical, as if a robot had just memorized something, was spitting out the same answer with a different formulation, no matter what the question
was. Remember,
are.
She was on Watergate, and she was she's a lawyer, and she knows exactly what you want, and she knows exactly how not to give it to you.
She's a very smart lawyer, but we looked at all aspects of her involvement, especially at the Rose Law Firm, which represented Madison Guaranty Savings and Loan, including in some fraudulent transactions. The Rose Law Firm billing records were missing. That's a whole different aspect of our investigation. So there was a whole lot of smoke there. We eventually decided, right, with a full indictment prepared, a full prosecution memo, that we simply did not have enough evidence to bring the charge.
People are on Trump and saying, why are you attacking Robert Mueller? How dare you do that? That's the plan you got. You were the most hated. You said you were the most hated man in America because they were attacking you for investigating them.
As I recount in the book, I was told, hey, somebody comes in, and we had a really good relationship, a lot of camaraderie in the office, and someone comes in and says, hey, Ken, guess what? What? Your numbers are now below those of Saddam Hussein. Well, Saddam Hussein wasn't too popular in the United States. I said, oh, well, we can only go up from here.
And their strategy was to hurt you. Hurt your reputation.
Exactly. This was the Clinton strategy from the very beginning. Lie, deceive, delay, deny, and attack the prosecutor.
And Ken, he got impeached in the House. It stopped in the Senate. And when he left, he had something in the 64% approval rating. So did he win?
Well, he won politically. There's no question. But he really bruised the rule of law and the basic things that we stand for. I'm not talking about the morality of the relationship, more than one relationships with individuals. I'm talking about fidelity to the law. He took an oath of office to uphold the law. But, yeah, politically, big winner.
20 seconds. Did you make any mistakes that you wish you could have back?
There were, yeah. The biggest mistakes, as I say in some detail in the book, was my dealing with the media. Not leaking. We were vindicated, but we just got hammered when I stupidly sat down with Stephen Brill, who's still around, who wrote a very distorted piece. I thought it was a good thing to do. I knew Steve Brill from years before. Really dumb move.
Okay. Don't trust those media people. Hey, pick up Contempt. Not only is it a great book and a meaningful story, it was edited by a genius, because she's the same one that edits my books, Bria Samford. Ken Starr, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be with you.
Brian Kilmeade.
No holds barred talk, can't miss documentaries, specials, and more. Plus, your favorite Fox News personalities. This is our time, and this is going to be our place. Fox Nation, coming soon. Sign up for updates and be the first to know. Go to foxnation.com now. The Fox News Rundown is a weekly morning podcast that dives deep into the major and controversial stories of the day. Hosted by the anchors of Fox News Radio. Subscribe now to hear a perspective of news you won't find anywhere else. Find it now on foxnewspodcasts.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call us at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SST Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SST Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with Care Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. Care Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. President Trump is tweeting his sympathies for the victims of Tropical Storm Florence.
As the death toll rose in the Carolinas, the president expressed his condolences on Twitter. He wrote, "Deepest sympathies and warmth go out to the families and friends of the victims. May God be with them." The president, who is receiving regular updates on Florence, also tweeted his thanks and appreciation for those conducting water rescues in the storm zone.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting, and that declaration will free up more federal funding to help an area that has seen at least 2 feet of rain in some parts, and possibly 2 more feet could fall. That's prompting immediate evacuation orders Saturday in North Carolina of people living within a mile of a stretch of the Cape Fear River and the Little River. Colvin is mayor of Fayetteville.
National Weather Service has predicted catastrophic flooding of the Cape Fear River and other local waterways. Cape Fear River is expected to rise to approximately 62 feet or more. Matthews flooding rose to levels around 58 feet, to put this in perspective.
When Florence eventually moves out of the Carolinas, it's expected to head to the northeast over the mid-Atlantic states and into New England by midweek. So far, 11 have been confirmed dead. Hong Kong and southern China hunker down as Typhoon Mangkhut slashes the densely populated coast. The biggest storm of the year left at least 28 dead from landslides and drownings in the northern Philippines. A 26-year-old man has died after being attacked by a shark off of a beach on Cape Cod in Massachusetts, off Newcomb Hollow Beach in Wellfleet. He was boogie boarding when he was attacked, witnesses say. And the Wall Street Journal reporting that President Trump is moving forward with plans on new tariffs on about $200 billion worth of Chinese imports just after the White House invited Beijing to hold talks on their tariff dispute. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance to buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Researchers say a wave of Chinese-financed railways and other trade links in Africa and Asia that have prompted worries about debt and Beijing's ambitions is reducing politically dangerous inequality between regions within countries.
The College of William and Mary study strikes a positive note at a time when governments from Washington to Moscow to New Delhi are uneasy about Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative. The study of nearly 3,500 projects in 138 nations across Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East found that they led to a more equal distribution of economic activity by improving access to jobs and markets. The report stressed it focused on only one aspect of Chinese financing. It said the overall impact is a more complex question. Jeremy House reporting.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says the latest claims about him are not true. He strongly denies a sexual misconduct allegation from when he was in high school. This is Town Hall News. New Mexico is suing Google, Twitter, and several companies that develop a market mobile gaming app for children that they say the apps violate state law by collecting personal information that could compromise privacy. Jeremy House has more on the story.
The lawsuit comes as data sharing concerns persist among users and a social media giant Facebook just weeks ago pulled one of its own apps over possible privacy intrusions. Google recently acknowledged that it tracks users who disable location history after an Associated Press investigation revealed that several Google apps and websites store user location even if users have turned off location history. New Mexico Attorney General Hector Baldera says he's concerned about the risk of a data breach and exploitation given that the apps can track with such precision where children live, play, and go to school. Jeremy House reporting.
More on that story can be found at townhall.com.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Are coming your way. We're tracking Hurricane Florence. It's now a Category 4. Could be a 5. We know this for sure. Nothing stopping it from slamming North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. We're also covering all the markings since the 17 years since the 9/11 attacks. We're keeping up with where the president is, the vice president speaking, the Pentagon, Shanksville, as well as the World Trade Center. We'll discuss all that as well as everything else breaking in and around on this Tuesday. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the biggest things you need to know, to the power of three, it's Brian's Big Three. Number three.
Today's terrorism threat still includes sleeper cells, Al-Qaeda, all the kind of major terrorist organizations that you would think of. But we're also very focused now on homegrown violent extremists.
That is Chris Ray. He's heading up the FBI, 9/11. 17 years later, we continue to battle the terror threat in our homeland and the time bomb that's going off, killing thousands who have contracted rare cancers due to the ingestion of the World Trade Center air right after the attack. Sometimes it festers, and now it's a lot of times it's killing firemen. It's killing pedestrians, people who live in the area, as well as cops. We'll bring you the latest as war rages in Afghanistan, where Al-Qaeda once flourished. Are we making gains?
Number two.
So if you look again at the blue part on the left, you can see that there's a clear downward trend going on in the growth rate of that for President Obama, and then a clear inflection timed almost precisely once again at the election.
Whose economic miracle is it, President Obama or President Trump? Team Trump makes its case yesterday through Kevin Hassett on the American Economic Council. Good news for them, they seem to have the facts on their side.
Number one.
Dowd thought if he'd been Mueller, he would have been fired right on the spot.
Right.
You can't testify. You are disabled.
Wow. Bob Woodward claims John Dowd, the president's former attorney, called him disabled. Woodward, from reporter to now, he's becoming the big-time Trump detractor. Let the battle begin as his book drops today. But with us right now, we're privileged to have with us one of the MVPs of the Trump administration, of the Bush administration, really steadied things in a very tough time when the Iraq war was going south. Stephen Hadley, former National Security Advisor to President George W. Bush during his second term, now chairman of the United States Institute of Peace, whose task force on extremism in fragile states, it's a new report. Now it's out in 2018, September 11th. Stephen, welcome to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Delighted to be here, Brian. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Where were you during the first term of the president?
I was Deputy National Security Advisor working under Condoleezza Rice in the first 4 years of the Bush administration.
And before we get into the task force to battle terrorism today that you're a part of, where were you there on that day, 9/11/2001?
I was in the Situation Room at a staff meeting with Dr. Rice and the rest of the NSC staff when the events started to unfold. We then set up a kind of an operations center in the Situation Room, which I managed for a period of time, and then I got a call to come down to the PEOC, the President's Emergency Operations Center under the White House, to assist with what was going on down there. It was a sobering and busy day.
So, Stephen, I remember we were on the air, and we were under the impression first it was an accident by a smaller plane, and they said, no, it's not. And then there was a thought that every airport there were going to be multiple hijackings, and they were going to be hitting buildings everywhere. Do you remember some of the early misperceptions?
You're exactly right, Brian. The concern was, is this a one-off, or is this a first of a series of other attacks? And we really didn't know. And so what we had to do was reduce the risk. And one of the things that was done by Norm Mineta, who was Secretary of Transportation, got literally thousands of airplanes on the ground so that if there was an effort to reproduce this at other locations, we could frustrate it. And then secondly, the Defense Department needed to deploy its assets so as to protect the country if this was the first of a number of accounts. And then third, the intelligence community needed to figure out what was going on, who was behind us, and what might be coming next.
It's amazing because you guys had got hit by two crises during your 8 years, more than two, but two major ones. One was the collapse of the economy, and you had to act quickly, concisely, and in unison, number one. Number two was this 9/11 attack, and of course what happened after. How was your team built in retrospect that I believe answered so successfully?
Well, the 9/11 attack came early in the administration when people were getting comfortable with their roles and the like. I think it was advantaged by the fact there were a lot of veterans in the administration, Vice President Cheney, Secretary of State Powell, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. These are people who'd been through crises before, and I think they were very helpful for the president in helping him navigate this. And then secondly, you know, the president really stepped up and showed his leadership to the country. And that, I think, is really what allowed the rest of us to do the jobs we needed to do.
And I'll tell you, I do believe that he is going to go down with a very high regard as a president. He is selfless. He acts well under pressure. He is willing to be open to delegating responsibility, but yet take responsibility as well. And I just would always believe that from what I saw and from talking to people around him. And the other thing I think is important to bring up is that during that time, he wanted to get – you had people who were – kind of never really got along that well. I mean, no one has to tell – this is not news to you that Rumsfeld and Colin Powell did not get along. It's not news to you that Condoleezza Rice lost patience with Donald Rumsfeld. It's not news to you that Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld were fast buddies and were always side together. So these are very talented men, but they were also rivaling with each other to a degree. Am I off on that, Steve?
There was a lot of that. I think largely it was managed. It really didn't. I observed the president's National Security Council meetings, for example, and the other senior meetings. It never got in the way of this group performing as a team and making sure that the president had the information he need and good opinions from each of them on which to make his decisions. So, you know, when you're in the kind of pressure situation we were in really mostly throughout the first term, it's not surprising that there are stresses and strains. But I think it did not detract from our being able to serve the president and allowing the president to serve the country. And, of course, the president did make some changes in his second term.
So let's talk about today. Sadly, these guys are languishing at Gitmo, who played a role in the 9/11 attacks. We got to solve that at a different time. But you also put together a task force, part of a task force on extremism in so-called fragile states. It's a new report. The task force is led by former New Jersey Governor Tom Kaine and former Representative Lee Hamilton, again, the co-chairs of the 9/11 Commission. Tell me about this, Steve. What are your conclusions?
Well, the big one really begins with the 9/11 Commission report, which said we needed to do three things in the wake of 9/11. One, we needed to go after the terrorists, box checked. Two, we need to strengthen the country to prevent further attacks, box checked. Third thing they said we need to do is we need to come up with a strategy for preventing the spread of extremism that fuels extremist violence. And that's really something where we have not had the kind of success that we had with respect to the first two. And Governor Kaine and former Congressman Hamilton really wanted to co-chair this panel in order to address that issue. What do we need to do to prevent the further spread of extremism that helps create the conditions that results in terrorist violence? And the goal of this commission is to do exactly that, to look at underlying causes, to come up with a new strategy to prevent the spread of extremism, and does that in the new context in which we're in, where the extremist threat has actually grown and evolved, and where some of America's rivals are mixing in to these situations and exacerbating the problem. And the battleground is in these fragile states, which are vulnerable to the attractive ideology of the extremists and are vulnerable to extremist organizing and promoting violence.
Interesting, because you got Yemen and Somalia, Sudan, places like that, these failed states. They're beginning to flourish. And then you think about the way you describe it. Look out Venezuela. That country's falling apart. And we know Iran has interest there, and he was collaborating with Chavez before Ahmadinejad stopped running, and then Chavez died of cancer. So is that one of your worries, Central and South America?
It is, though. This commission, which was this task force, was created by the Congress under legislation sponsored by Senator Lindsey Graham. And it asked us to focus on the Middle East, North Africa,
gotcha,
and the Sahel. And that has really been the focus of the work of the task force.
So, Steve, I hope your conclusion isn't we have to rebuild these countries because we just don't have that money to rebuild these countries. Yet poverty isn't necessarily linked to these terrorist groups. Bin Laden was a multimillionaire. Al-Awlaki had resources. Muhammad Atta was middle class. So you can't just say give these people money and give them a future and they'll be happy, right?
Absolutely right. You know, the United States can't build another state. Our job is to build our own state here at home. And so the report talks about what the countries themselves need to do and what their governments need to do to reduce fragility. It talks about the responsibilities of states in the region and international institutions and our friends and allies who need to bear more of the cost. And it talks also about what we need to do to confront the activities of some of our competitors and rivals, China, Russia, Iran, and others, that are compounding the problem in these states. What the United States can provide is the energy to pull this all together, to develop a common strategy, and get others to step up to their responsibilities. That's really the role we have. This is not about a big bill for the American taxpayer.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, you support Mubarak because Mubarak is a good friend to us, but he treats a lot of his people brutally, and sometimes that breeds terrorists. But we can't tell Egypt we're going to pick your government. We say Salah, I believe, in Yemen. Okay, you're doing a good job cracking down on terrorists. You're treating your people terribly, so we'll support you. And a lot of times we look bad because they do bad things. So that's a tough thing. It's a tough needle to thread, isn't it?
It is very tough. And, you know, Brian, you've put your finger on the dynamic. What we've seen in these things is there's a kind of a dynamic that leads to extremist violence. And it begins with grievances in the countries. It's not just about poverty. It's about grievances, about injustices, about political exclusion, groups not part of the political process. They turn to their government for help, and many of these governments in fragile states have little legitimacy. They're not particularly effective. Many of them are corrupt and authoritarian. So the governments can't help. And that's where the extremist ideology comes in. This, you know, this fantastical alternative vision for how a state should be organized on the basis of Islamist principles and Sharia law. And finally, the other thing that happens is you have actual extremist outsiders come in and establishing an organizational presence in these countries with money and arms and proselytization, and then begin to incite for terrorist violence. That's the dynamic we see. And what we have to do is address each of those things.
Stephen, where do we get your Stephen Hadley, where do we get this whole report?
It's up on the website at the U.S. Institute of Peace, which was tasked by the legislation to be the convener and administrative support for this study.
Hopefully the administration will embrace this. I think they are. They do have a lot of people in place that from the CIA to the Defense Department to General Kelly as chief of staff. I think they get the threat. Lastly, Stephen, you've had, when you were at the administration, two Bob Woodward books written on the administration. Does Bob Woodward get the facts right?
We actually had three books about Woodward on the administration, and he certainly his great strength is that lots of people are willing to talk to him, and so he gets a lot of facts. The question is when he presents that factual presentation, stitches those facts together, is it really a true picture of what's happening in the administration? And I think that's the question that he will have to answer. You know, a lot of people focus on what the president says. I keep saying to people, we need to focus in addition on what the administration is doing.
Yep.
And they have a case to be made on behalf of the policies they're pursuing. And I think we don't look in a balanced way at both of those things. And I think that will be the standard that people will have to use in looking at Bob Woodward's book.
If Trump asked, would you join the administration?
been there, done that. Needs to go to a next generation. There, I have a lot of friends and former colleagues in this administration, and I do everything I can to help them because the tasks before this administration are great. And I want to mention one other thing, Brian, and something you said. We have consulted both with the Congress and with the administration in the process of this report. This is the first report that that basically diagnoses the problems. We will now prepare a report on recommendations due in January, and we want those recommendations to reflect both the best of what's going on in Congress and what's going on in the administration. So we really want Congress, the administration, to be a partner in this, because what we want is a bipartisan consensus connecting the executive branch and the legislative branch in a common strategy to prevent extremism.
Stephen Hadley, can't thank you enough. Appreciate it.
Delighted to be here. Thanks for the time.
Great. Stephen Hadley does some great work fighting to stop the next terror attack, which is important. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-866-408-7669. Then the bottom of the hour simulcast. See what I look like on FBN, Varney and Company.
Getting past all the rhetoric, it's Brian Kilmeade. Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540. Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
This is Fox on Justice. On the plus side, Google Maps helps you find your way.
Take the I-695 west to Ram to Pikesville.
But on the downside, every move you make is being tracked, even if you turn off Google's location history. The tech giant only just now admitting that, yeah, it's tracking you pretty much all the time. It didn't take very long for a lawsuit to be filed. A guy named Napoleon Patasil filed the suit in San Francisco, claiming Google is violating his right to privacy and breaking California law. So far, it's just him versus Google, but he's asking that this become a class action suit, which means virtually everyone with a smartphone could be involved. Google has not yet responded to the lawsuit, but legal and tech experts say the case may come down to the consent that you click on when you first sign into Google Maps, and whether all that fine print is enough to protect Google from damages. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory. Science.
science fiction TV series Quantum Leap starts Scott Bakula as Sam Beckett, who would leap to various points in time. And at the end of every episode, he would leap into the next person, giving the viewers a teaser of the next week's episode. The show co-starred Dean Stockwell. The show ran from 1989 to 1993.
Sam, have you looked in a mirror yet?
No, I haven't seen any around. Why?
Oh, I haven't seen any mirrors around. Well, that's not surprising.
Well, what does that mean?
I think you've leaped into a...
A what?
A vampire.
Stay tuned to hear more Sound Memories on Fox News Talk. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Baltimore Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, broke the record for most consecutive games played, 2,131. The record had been held for 56 years before that by Lou Gehrig.
Well, you know, I see myself as someone that was very lucky and had a good career, and I think that I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't put myself all the way down and not think that I've had a pretty significant career. I've enjoyed being in the presence of all the great players and this collection of players. I sat and talked to Henry Aaron a long time and really enjoyed talking to Kirk Gibson and Pete Rose. I just enjoy being in the environment. Maybe when I get older and you start to look back, you may have a historical view of your career. But right now, I just see myself as a guy that was lucky enough to play baseball for a long time.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm going to be going on FBN shortly, but I do want to remind you of this. Andrew Jackson, The Miracle of New Orleans, comes out on paperback. I put a new afterword in, looks at past presidents and what they thought of Andrew Jackson. So I'm going to have some live events that go along with kind of the theme of American patriotism. It's called America Great from the Start. And I'm going to be in Tampa on the 19th. Go to the Jab Theater. You can find out tickets. Just go to BrianKilmeade.com. You can get tickets. Norfolk, Virginia, WNIS listeners, I hope to see you all out there and at the Norva. And we're going to be going to Nashville, Tennessee on the 21st. So Norfolk on the 20th and the 21st. 3 days back to back to back. We're going to be live on stage, be able to take your questions. I'll be able to put together and link together all these stories and maybe weave into your story. So I hope everyone could go down and greet me there. There's only about 300 seats per theater. So go to BrianKilmeade.com and sign up. There's also a VIP option for you where I can personalize your book and spend some time and take pictures. But it's going to be fun. Hope you're a part of it. And if it goes well, we'll do a lot of them in 2019. Meanwhile, when we come back, I'm going to be speaking with the great Stuart Varney, and then we're going to be talking to Sean Parnell.
Celebrate your history. Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through October 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through the 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Kimberly and Michael are getting married. When they made their wedding plans, they chose a donation to a charity rather than receiving gifts. PALS Fund at Haven Humane helps with the adoption fee if you lack the funds to adopt an older companion that desperately needs a home and has lots of love yet to give. PALS Fund honors the memory of my amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 12 years ago. Thanks to all of you who have supported this fund over the years, and a special thanks to Kim and Mike for caring about our furry homeless friends.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you've had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Ulza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Papopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1993.
Our democracy must be not only the envy of the world, but the engine of our own renewal. There is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by what is right with America.
At 12:18 this afternoon, we got a call for a report of explosion in the basement of 3 World Trade Center.
I was blown across the room. Everything went black. It felt like a tomb. Then the lights came on, safety lights, and we ran out just trying to find a way out.
It took like 2 hours to get down. People were passing out, and it was horrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time for peace has come.
On July 2nd, 1991, I had sexual relations with Amy Fisher at the Freeport Motel.
News as it happened then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Generally speaking, do you consider yourself a Democrat or a Republican? Or don't you consider yourself either? We ask that question on every Fox News poll. Usually, more identify as Democrats. It's been that way consistently for over a decade. It isn't by a lot. On average, in each of the last few years, the Democratic Party's edge over the Republican Party was 3 percentage points. And more voters in the 2016 presidential election identified as Democrats by 3 points in the exit poll. However, recently that advantage is widening. Democrats had a 9-point edge over Republicans in our latest poll. In March, it was 3. In February, it was 6. In 2017, Democrats averaged a 6-point edge in affiliation. Lots of folks ask me, how come those numbers shift around? Here's the thing. Party identification isn't a fixed characteristic. It's an attitude that can move around in response to the politics of the day. Undoubtedly, it will keep bouncing around. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Now, the Brian Kilmeade Show joins the Fox Business Network's Varney & Company with Stuart Varney, live on your radio and on the Fox Business Network. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
Well, we're about to go on with Stuart Varney. He is here today, and he was just on Fox & Friends earlier. He was talking to us on television on the other network, FNC, which is also pretty good, telling us about his recollection of 9/11, having to pick up his kids at grammar school and then having the doors locked when he went to get them after he saw the 9/11 attacks. He happened to be watching Fox News Channel. Then we're going to be joined by Sean Parnell, who was on 9/11, was watching it in his apartment, and said, after that, I'm going to go join the Army. And he did. And he went and wrote
Outlaw Platoon, which is a bestseller for weeks. And now he's got a brand new book out called Man of War, an Eric Steele novel, and looks into how war in Afghanistan, 400 plus days, affected him. And we're still in that war.
On the radio, joining us now is Brian Kilmeade. He's currently on the radio, but he's joining us now on TV. Brian, 17 years ago, September 11th, you were on the air at that time. Take us through it.
Well, I mean, we were in a break, and there's even video of that, of us in a break, and they said, guys, look at the television. We're trying to figure out what happened. It looks like a small plane hit the side of a building, and we're just watching, and I thought it was the Channel 5, which is the local affiliate in New York, that feed. So we're listening to what they're describing it. They're trying to figure out how a plane could hit a building like that. Then when we come back, it's clear that it was a huge passenger jet, and there were people inside. We were able to broadcast through the rest of the hour from 8:46 to 9:00. And then we watched. John Scott took over at 9:01, and we watched his coverage for a while. And then what I did is I went down with a crew, and I went downtown. And as we're driving, we kept getting pushed and pushed and, by cops who wouldn't let us down. And then finally, we stopped because they wouldn't let us any further. And we look up, and I watched the tower fall. And then chaos ensued. Then we drove around again. By the time I got down to where the buildings once stood, David Lee Miller was there. And David Lee Miller says, hey, Brian, I need your crew. So he took Scott Wilder, even though we weaved our way all the way down. He goes, I need him because, you know, David Lee Miller is the war correspondent. Most of the time he was in Israel covering things like this, but now he's here. Mm-hmm. So he took that. A camera arrived soon later. And in my office to this day, I have my dress shoes that are still full of the dust down at 9/11. Little did I know that dust would still be killing people today.
That's extraordinary. One more, Brian. Earlier on the program this morning, James Mitchell was with us, the man who waterboarded KSM. He told us that KSM had pleaded guilty in open court to numerous capital crimes, but then the charges were either withdrawn, and he was no longer on trial, and he's still sitting someplace 17 years on. I personally was outraged at this. I guess you are too.
Yeah, and Jim Mitchell questioned more of the 9/11, not the hijackers, but the ones who put this whole attack together than anybody else, whether it's Hambali, who was in charge of Indonesia and that region, to KSM and Ramzi bin al-Shib. And he used enhanced interrogation tactics that, no doubt about it, if you read the book and take the time to do the research, even George Tenet's book, who was CIA director, that information allowed us to stop future attacks. There are people watching us right now that would not be alive if Jim Mitchell was not able to do his enhanced interrogation. Politically, that doesn't sound good to say anymore, but we know the reality of it. Next, it was Barack Obama who said, civilized people don't leave people at Gitmo, so we're going to take these terrorists, we're going to bring them to New York City. You know who stopped them? That right-wing conservative, Chuck Schumer. And everybody in New York said, are you kidding me? You're going to bring these guys into court and have a blind shake type circus? No way. So now they're in hyperspace. The charges are dropped, not dropped, but they've been sidelined. They've got regular American attorneys who are trying to see that they get their rights. They're playing soccer. They're playing volleyball. If anything goes wrong, they can file grievances. And this Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was ready to die, originally he went to North Carolina A&T, remember. He thought he knew our system. He asked for a lawyer. They said, you're not getting a lawyer. You're going to one which turned out to be one of the black sites. And then he gave us information that led to bin Laden. You just read the stuff. It's not up for debate. It's a fact. And they gave us that information. And now Khalid Sheikh Mohammed sits there and is making demands on us and costing us dollars every single day. The families of the victims that are down there in the Pentagon in Shanksville and in New York City, they're the ones who deserve justice. And those are the ones that are being denied because of politics. Any clear-thinking American knows they get a military trial and they die a military death, whether it's by execution or whether it's by firing squad. Who cares? They don't deserve to live.
All right, Brian, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Very difficult day. We thank you for your contribution there when you were on the air right back then, 17 years ago.
Crazy stuff.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Thanks.
Ryan Zink.
All right. With us right now is Sean Parnell making his way into the studio. As we leave FBN, we go back to our stream. We were simultaneous streaming. I think you go wide right, Sean.
Oh, wide right.
Yeah, he's going to put his headset on. And Sean's been on many times before. Always love having him on, but especially today. He's got a brand new book out. It's called Man of War, an Eric Steele novel, but using his knowledge of what he learned on the battlefield as a man who was an Army Ranger who had joined the Army, became a Ranger, and led a platoon. Outlaw Platoon was a bestseller. This is going to be a bestseller, but it's going to be on the fiction side. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah, I hope so. It's really, really difficult and challenging to make the jump from nonfiction to fiction, but I'm doing my best.
Right, but you use a lot of what you learned.
I mean,
to be authentic.
Absolutely. I mean, everything that I learned from the battlefield, I put into that book, and I basically turned the volume up to 10. And you know, there's a lot of ways to give back to our veterans and really bridge the gap between, you know, civilians that enjoy freedom in this country and veterans that protect it. And one of the things that I learned is that through mainstream storytelling, like, we need heroes in our movies and in books that embody the greatness of what this country is founded on. And Eric Steele, my hero in this book, he is that character. And so, you know, I grew up watching movies like Back to the Future and Indiana Jones and, like, loved Marty McFly, loved Indiana Jones. But it's like, who are going to be the fictional heroes of this generation? I mean, we can't keep rebooting the same stuff. Like Hollywood, what is it, like Hawaii Five-0, like in MacGyver, all these shows. I mean, not to take anything away from them, but they're just the same old stuff that we've always had, so I'm trying to do some new stuff with this.
Well, kind of interesting. They have the moon landing now, and it's based on Neil Armstrong, who is relatively – he was a guy who liked to keep to himself, but he was a great, great explorer who did things that you can't even think about, great American.
Absolutely.
But when we land on the moon, it's not the right stuff anymore. It's not Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks.
Leave it to Hollywood to ruin a quintessentially American story. We all know how it ends, right? America gets to the moon. We plant our flag there. What Hollywood did was basically remove the one aspect of that story that would unite all Americans behind going to see it at the box office, and they shot themselves in the foot.
Well, one of our great exports is entertainment. And one
Absolutely.
Thing we do is we sell the story of America through these stories, whether it's something like Indiana Jones or this.
Absolutely.
So now it's a less of an American story. Yet most of the revenue judged by movies today is overseas.
Well, I mean, just look at, you know, Black Panther. And then there was that Christian movie with the Christian singer. I can't remember what the name was right off the top of my head. But Black Panther was the number one movie, obviously. But this movie was independently funded film. Like, I think it had a budget of $6 million, but was a Christian movie. It really celebrated the greatness of America, and it was number two at the box office behind Black Panther. So, like, Americans want this type of stuff, and I would also wager to say that so does the world. You know, Outlaw Platoon is in 10 countries, and it's an American story. Why? Because people aspire to come to this country. They do admire the greatness of America. When I was launching Outlaw Platoon in Poland, I mean, it was. People loved this country.
And Poland was fighting right beside us, right?
No doubt about it, yeah. And in Afghanistan and in World War II. You know, it's pretty amazing to talk to some of the Poles over there who still appreciate America liberating Poland in the wake of World War II from Hitler. They come up to you on the street and just say thank you.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
But unfortunately, they went right to the Soviet sphere for a problem. But we helped. Along with the Pope, the story goes, helped to end the break the Iron Curtain, and it started with Poland.
Yeah, for sure. And Poland is a really interesting mix of, like, old Soviet bloc buildings and New Age capitalism. It's a pretty awesome place to be. But to your point, they appreciate American entertainment, and they appreciate American culture.
Well, let's take a look. Hurt Locker, award-winning movie, huge at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about American Sniper.
Huge.
Let's talk about Lone Survivor.
Yep.
Those are just three off the top of my head that came from this war generation that became big hit movies.
Yeah, and I've got Man of War out there now with a couple of different production companies, and you hear, well, nobody wants to do a war film. I mean, these films aren't selling, and I just have to say,
what are you looking at?
Like, here is a list of the last six movies, going all the way back to We Were Soldiers, right, which was another amazing movie just about Vietnam War. They all earned 10 times what their budget was globally.
Yeah.
I mean, so if people in Hollywood are the business people that they're supposed to be, then they should want to make these sort of patriotic films that celebrate our military. I mean, I think ultimately, Brian, people in this country love America, and they want to feel good about their military.
Right. Now, tell us your story. You were heading to become an elementary school teacher when 9/11 happened.
Yeah, I mean, I actually was an elementary school teacher. I was a sophomore in college, woke up with a terrible hangover on my couch, like, stagger over to the TV set and turn it on just in time to see an airplane crash into the World Trade Center. And, you know, my life was just laser focused from that moment on joining the military, serving something greater than myself, and inspired by those that ran into the flames that day. I mean, I watched that 20-minute segment that you guys had on Fox today. still makes my blood boil, man. Like, it makes me want to, like, grab my boots and my rifle and get back in the fight. It's just like, I feel like we all have those moments in our lives of clarity where we sit down and we say, I am doing the exact thing that I'm supposed to be doing right now in my life. And for me, that was joining the military, being in the fight, on the front lines, going through some of this high-speed training. And I got to Afghanistan and fought for 485 days. And like, just to put that into perspective, Easy Company, the 101st Airborne, jumped into Normandy and fought to Hitler's Eagle's Nest in less time than 485 days. I mean, I spent so much freaking time in Afghanistan, I could probably go back and legally vote in their elections as a citizen or something. But, yeah, we had a heck of a fight there.
Where?
In Afghanistan.
Where, though?
In RC East. So Regional Command East in Bermel, like right on the right 5 kilometers from the Pakistan border. I mean, our job at the time was to close with and destroy the enemy and find Osama bin Laden. I mean, that was back in 2006. So that was what we were doing. And, I mean,
he was in Pakistan, so you were right by the 60, right country.
60 miles from where we were deployed is where we found
him. Did you hear that he might be there?
We heard, yeah. I mean, you heard whispers of where he was supposed to be all the time. And, I mean, we were under contact with, you know, this. We were under contact with Al-Qaeda and different foreign fighters from Hekmatyar to Haqqani every single day.
Just died, but his sons had got the business.
Yeah, right.
Haqqani. Haqqani did.
Julieddin Haqqani was a moderate. You know, I know it sounds crazy to say that, but he was easier to deal with. You know, Siraj, his son, is a true believer of. You know, he's sort of like, you know, Islamic Jihad meets the Sopranos. You know, he runs his organization out there like the mafia. And, you know, we were up against those guys every day, man. I mean, our base probably took, in 485 days, 3,000 rockets. We had this, like, old World War II air raid siren. It would just go off in the middle of the night because our base would be under attack. Everybody would run to the bunkers. It was just how we lived for a year and a half. And when I got back from that deployment, it was just like, you know what? I made it back by the skin of my teeth. I'm going to live life to the fullest and earn it. You know, at the end of Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks' character says to Private Ryan, earn this. And so, to me, it's just all about living a life worthy of their sacrifice. And
right. But you were shaken up for a while, right? You had a little PTSD?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have PTSD, and I look at it as like, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. And now I start thinking of it as like, it's not a disorder. You know, we went to combat, and we experienced and saw some really terrible things. And so we struggle with that. That's a normal human response to something that's terrible. And so I look at it as more as like post-traumatic growth now. You know, that experience shaped who I was.
Right.
And I wouldn't take it back for anything. And so, you know, it made me – I'm more driven today because of it. I'm more focused. You know, I wrote that book because of my service, inspired by those that sacrificed their lives on 9/11 and the heroic acts of my soldiers on the battlefield. It just, you know, it's a bucket list item that I probably wouldn't have otherwise done had I not made it back from Afghanistan alive.
Yeah, Sean Parnell's here. His new book is now out. This one, the first one, we know that was a bestseller. This one will also be there, but no, it's going to be fiction. It's Man of War, an Eric Steele novel. Back with a few more minutes with Sean on this 9/11. The president is now speaking at the brand new memorial and the brand new tribute to those who lost their lives on Flight 93 and maybe saved the Capitol building. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Don't go anywhere. Brian Kilmeade will be right back. Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785. Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Flight 93 was hijacked by evil men bent on terror and conquest. Passengers and crew members began using their phones to call home. They learned that two planes had already crashed into the World Trade Center in New York City. Immediately, those on board Flight 93 started planning a response. Sandy Bradshaw, a flight attendant, called her husband and told him they were in the back of the plane preparing hot water to throw onto the hijackers. Passenger Jeremy Glick explained the plan to his wife and said, "Stay on the line, I'll be back." The passengers and crew members came together, took a vote, and they decided to act.
It's amazing, the amount of courage. We hear about the courage to shown to take out bin Laden to win in the battle of in Afghanistan and Iraq. But guess what? They trained for that. How does a group of passengers on a half-full flight just looking to go on a cross-country trip on a plane prepare to unite and take out terrorist hijackers who have been hatching this plot for maybe over a year? With me right now is Sean Parnell. He was a civilian when 9/11 happened, and he became a U.S. Army infantryman who then translated into a ranger who rode outlaw platoon and now used a lot of that knowledge in his brand-new novel, Man of War. Sean, it's pretty amazing, right? These are everyday people who decide to take action because they're not going to go down without a fight.
Yeah, let's roll, man. I mean, it does. Isn't that inspirational, though? I mean, it's tragic that they had to sacrifice sacrificed their lives, right? But it is to me how they reacted in that moment. It really teaches you a lot about what it means to be an American,
right?
You know, the reason that they reacted like that is because they heard the news reports that planes had been flown into the World Trade Centers. And they knew that they were going to share the same fate regardless of what those terrorists were saying to them on the plane, right? Oh, you know.
Relax, you'll be fine.
Relax, you'll be fine. But they didn't believe that. They took action, and they sacrificed their lives to protect thousands more.
Right.
But I'm telling you, man, that is.
And they penetrated the cockpit. And they penetrated. No,
yeah, and they penetrated the cockpit. And you know, we've talked about this on Fox and Friends about, you know, how do everyday Americans take action against these, you know, active shooter situations or these people in Europe that are stabbing everybody or whatever. But sometimes you don't need the training. Sometimes it's just about taking action.
But a lot of times, Sean, the war comes to you. I think that's the message over the last 17 years. The war could be coming to you. And by the way, there's a reason why outside Fox, there's all these barriers. And after that guy ran into a Fox affiliate in Houston, out come the assault rifles, and the NYPD comes and protects us and CNN and all the media, because they know Fox especially is the target. We're unabashed, patriotic Americans.
I know, and it's so true. You know, you come into this building, and just for everybody that's listening that doesn't get to see behind the curtain, you know, I've been in all the major media outlets, and there's something special about Fox. Everybody here is so nice and so kind, and it's, like, super supportive, and everybody has fun. I'll tell you, it's not like that everywhere else.
Right.
It just isn't.
Yeah.
And
I was just talking to the new, I can't say, but one of the new executives here, and they just had brought people through. He's been here about 2 years. She goes, everyone seems to have an attitude because we're grateful to be in an atmosphere
yeah.
like this.
It really is a blessing.
Well, Sean Parnell, congratulations on your brand new book. We'll have you on again and again as it continues to climb up the charts. It's called Man of War. Go download it or pick it up at your bookstore. It's an Eric Steele novel. It's a story based on Sean's knowledge of the battlefield. Thanks. Congratulations, Sean.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Keep it here. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Tucker Carlson.
There's just so much barking and noise and yelling. Our role is to take three steps back and discern what really matters.
Sean Hannity.
The most important thing that we do, we are looking out for the forgotten men and women in this country.
Laura Ingraham.
They're going to get a straight shooter, no holds barred. I'm not going to cut people slack.
Fox is the one place where dissent is allowed.
We have voices. We won't be silent.
Who controls my voice? Nobody.
Fox News Channel. Real news, real honest opinion.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call us at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785.
Hi, Lance Beck here, President of North State Security. Celebrating our 50th year of operations in Northern California, I wish to thank the Shasta County community for such great support over the last 5 decades. In appreciation, North State Security is having a contest. We are giving away $1,000 in gift certificates, $500 from R&R Meats, and $500 from Costco to the individual who come closest to guessing the total number of accrued man hours of North State Security officers have worked throughout the past 50 years. North State Security allows but one entry per family. Provide your guests for total hours worked in the 50-year period. Full name, home address, and phone number, then submit either in person or by mail to our headquarters. That is North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue, zip code 96002. The winner will be announced Friday, November 30th. Submit your pick on total number of hours security officers have worked in the past 50 years for a chance at $1,000 in gift certificates. Submit on a full sheet of paper in person or mail to North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue. Best of luck and stay safe.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.